the written minutes. Apologise for that. Councillors, the item 8, the urgent supplementary and later items of business, we have none. Item 9, the written reports and delegates. Councillors, on page 20, the recommendation that council receive the mayor's delegate activity report for January, for December 2023 and January 2024. Have I got somebody prepared to move that? Councillor Bauer, Councillor McMullen, all those in favour? Thank you. Councillors, we've now got two gentlemen that wish to address council. We have Angus Witherby by Zoom, if we've been able to create that link. Okay. And also Mr. Matthew Varley. As soon as we get the link with both speaking in relation to item 14.2, the development application 50DA 572023, the 19 lot subdivision at Summers. So as soon as we can get Mr. Witherby on Zoom, you're right there, Mr. Witherby. Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
I'll just make some introductory comments for both you and Mr. Varley, that all speakers are requested to make their comments as relevant to the proposed agenda item. The chairman may withdraw the privilege to speak where a speaker makes personal remarks, criticisms, implies wrongdoing, uses abusive or inappropriate language. Speakers do not enjoy any special protection arising from comments made during the council meetings and should therefore refrain from making defamatory remarks or personal defamatory statements against the individual. Thank you. You have the floor, Mr. Witherby.
Thank you.
Any questions, councillors? Mr. Witherby, for your information, it's our intention to look, with Councillor Crouch's indulgence, to move the item 14.2, which is the development application, and 14.12 on your business paper, to be heard after we've heard from Mr. Varley and also from our acting manager of planning. So thank you. So you could stay online if you would choose. Otherwise, thank you very much. Mr. Varley, would you like to address the council, please?
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone. In light of the information and months of qualification to the planners and the trained professionals, surveyors, engineers, inside and outside of council over the months precluding this meeting, having navigated the planning guidelines and the Planning Act, I have assumed that it is not a matter once up for approval that the council itself is to adjudicate the development, but for approval or refusal of the application, which I assume is happening today. But once again, I would advise myself and to those others that are adhering to this same act, it has to be on a planning regulation that we've been through, that we've adhered to, or that you've got that we haven't adhered to for such refusal. We've adhered to the R5, the 2 hectare zoning, the entry to the development has the required 260 metres of cleared distance. The land is not mapped in bushfire prone. No aspect of the proposed subdivision is consistent with the development standards outlined in bushfire protection and planning of 2019, and therefore a valid planning grounds for refusal of the application on a bushfire risk is not there. The Armidale engineering codes used by Yooralla Council Engineering Directorate require roads of up to 100 tenements and 400 vehicle movements a day to have a 6 metre seal, which Mondays does. The proposed development and subsequent dwellings are exempt from controlled activity approvals under Clause 29 of Schedule 4 of the Water Management Regulation 2018. The biodiversity impact assessment that was completed by a senior ecologist which with a Master of Science and a graduate diploma in bushfire planning, an extensive history in providing reports to Yooralla Shire Council and recommendations in the report can be easily accommodated and frankly were proposed in the most part by ourselves when that report was being prepared. These and many other points of information your planners expected, required and received prior to making a decision based on the parameters of the Planning Act. Your own planning guidelines, which led to the led them to present it to the December 23 council meeting designated for approval. After all this confirmed by your planning department, if council elects to refuse the development, then the same act dictates that any refusal must be under planning guidelines. Two successive council managers of planning and the mayor have advised the councillors that there is no valid planning grounds for refusal of the application. I note the mayor acted previously as this council's director of infrastructure and planning. In response to Council's request for better emergency access and egress in the 23 December meeting, the applicant has amended the plans to include a right of carriageway for egress to the end of the cul-de-sac. So even in an application where the applicant refuses to provide such information, which we didn't, a response to a formal request for information, council is still legally required to determine that application. In anticipation, sadly, of this matter proceeding to Land Environment Court, the applicant has formally requested a list of legal planning firms previously engaged by council so that they may exclude them from potential counsel for the applicant. This information has not been provided as such so far. In this matter, if refused and proceeds to the Land Environment Court, combined costs will be sought as the proposal has already been marked for approval by the planners. And in general, costs, I assume, will be awarded to the applicant. I don't want to go anywhere near this, to be honest. And the applicant's cost, which I assume is somewhere around $200,000, judging on former matters. Letting this matter proceed to this point, I believe, would be deemed financially irresponsible by ratepayers. If council indeed proposed to request a special rate variation and for that to be accepted by the community, such wasting such large sums of fruitless and unnecessary court proceedings would be a bitter pill to swallow. In the light of the extensive submissions and reasoning over months provided on both sides, it is requested that council approve the application without any further delay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Varley. Councillor, is there any questions? Councillor Doran?
Thank you. I'm wondering, I appreciate the emergency and pedestrian access that's been provided. Mm. I'm just wondering if you could clarify for me, though. I understand bollards are going to be placed at either end of that, and I'm wondering how emergency vehicles will be able to use it in an emergency.
Yeah, no, we'd be happy to work with your guys. You know, if you've got a requirement, we're more than happy to bend wheels, power, steel, do it all. We always have been. We've worked with Armidale. If there's a request, happy to work with it.
Councillors, if there are no other questions, I might ask our acting manager of planning to update us on the discussions around the right-of-way and how we might ensure that it maintained, or did you wish to do it, General Manager? Oh, sorry. There. There you go. Can we... Sorry. Thank you.
Sorry about that. I have a...
Mr. Mayor, I might just introduce, with your indulgence. So thank you, Mr. Mayor, thank you, councillors, thank you to our speakers. So council officers have reviewed this report and have put forward a recommendation for council consideration, which has been published in the business papers. We are proposing an alternative recommendation, which our acting manager will present to now. I would like to introduce our Acting Manager Planning and Development, Mr. Simon Vivas. Simon is filling in for our Manager Planning and Development, Ms. Kate Blackwood, who's proceeded on maternity leave, and she and her new baby are doing very well. So I welcome Simon to the seat, Mr. Mayor, and we would like to hear from him if that's agreeable to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. I'm at an advantage here because you have been presented with the previous iteration of this proposal. To get to where we are today, further negotiations occurred with council and the applicant to essentially secure a 6-metre-wide easement which would provide a second point of access in terms of emergency and also pedestrians. It would also, just generally speaking, increase the convenience for pedestrians moving through the site. Essentially, at the core of this application, it is deemed permissible against our relevant environmental planning instruments. It's fundamentally R5 zone land, meets minimum lot size, and the application is permissible. So obviously the applicant has the right to test an application. In terms of referrals, the comments from Angus Witherby are noted, but generally speaking, we can't go seeking additional referrals beyond what are statutorily required, so we are quite bound by that. In terms of the alternative recommendation, which you'll see on your screen, the reason for this coming around is further negotiations between the general manager and myself. We consider that an easement isn't the appropriate mechanism to secure this part of the land, and that would be better secured through being dedicated to council. In doing so, that would require slight alternatives to or alterations to the lot size of probably two of the lots and further conditions imposed within the limits of that sort of change. The part which probably requires slight discussion more than any other is the inclusion of a clause 4.6 variation to a development standard. So in this area, it's got a 2-hectare minimum lot size, and under clause 4.6, it is permissible to essentially create a lot which is 90% of the minimum lot size without needing concurrence. So that is an avenue that we're seeking to take. We consider that in this case, there's a bit of land which can be taken from the remaining 18 lots and added to ensure that 18 are compliant. And we consider that it's a fair compromise for that 19th lot to be slightly undersized, no more than 10%, in order for us to have the benefit of securing this pedestrian access piece of land. Long term, I have seen where pathways and bicycleways and so on are secured by easement, and it doesn't provide the best sort of, you know, tenure down the track when, you know, there is complaints and so on and people wanting to balance their sort of private ownership with the legalities of people being able to cross their land. So that's my basis for the alternative recommendation. If there's anything that you'd like any discussion or clarification on, please go ahead.
Councillor O'Connor.
Mr. Mayor, my question, so I'm clear of what you're talking about, the dedication of emergency access and pedestrian land to council is from the end of the cul-de-sac to Monday's Lane through lots 16, 13 and lot 3. Is that right?
Thank you, councillor. Without looking exactly to plan development,
through there.
Yeah, that's right. It'll affect those two sort of northeastern lots.
Oh, it bends into 14. Okay.
I think so.
Mr. Mayor, we'll just bring up that plan of subdivision.
I have a second.
I got.
Yes, it's page 40 of our business paper.
It is on your business papers, and Simon, you'll see it on the page 36, I think, of the is the smaller version of your papers.
Yes.
Councillor Connor, you had a second question?
Second question relates to a point of clarification just for me. On page 61, 6.4, we have I think it's within the development assessment, statement that says supply of water, rural water supply. What?
Yes.
Given the fact that this is a rural residential area, what does that mean?
So just to interrupt, Councillor O'Connor, we now have that plan of subdivision on the screen. If it's helpful for Simon to just point out that easement alignment for the benefit of councillors and those people in the gallery, and apologies to those listening in, it is in the business paper.
Okay, and the Acting Manager of Planning, the second question about on page 61 relating to rural water access, what that means, please.
And then Councillor Toomey.
Particularly since the submission from Wakefield Planning on page 111, 15 or 31 of that submission talks about there is appropriate access to water supply, and it said that this is providing, hydrants. So the two together is what I'm, I couldn't make sense of whether or not the application meets those expectations.
Thank you, Councillor. The interpretation under clause 6.4 of the LEP that you mentioned is regards to rural water supply, and that could have been better worded, but basically we are aware that there's not a reticulated water service in this area. So if I was to speak to another town planner, rural water supply would mean to be provided on site and, captured on site. So it is a slightly misleading statement, which we'll exclude in future.
Just a sec. Councillor Toomey, did you have a question?
If you don't mind, I just want to clarify where the emergency road goes. I'm looking on the map, and I think from the notes, if I understand correctly, it's the R pointing to the red line at the base of the cul-de-sac. Are just the notes beside that look like that to me?
That's correct. On the current plan development, it is annotated R for right of carriageway for emergency purposes, 6 metre wide and variable.
Sorry, so where does it start and end? Because the dot points to a bit, but I wasn't sure where the beginning and end. Like, is it from the end of the cul-de-sac just to the top of the Mondays Lane block? Mondays Reserve, sorry. Or... So it goes right through and follows that red line. And it's 6 metres wide.
Yeah, perhaps Simon could just demonstrate again from start to finish, if you don't mind, thanks. And this is on the current proposal.
Yeah, I see the wording. I just want to make sure I knew exactly where it was going. And the actual road reserve that's been created through to the cul-de-sac, is that 8 metres or 10 metres? How wide is that?
Okay, so just to answer that question. Basically, if you can see my pen, it's at the western edge of lot 14, the western edge of lot 15, lot 13, and then straight down to the cul-de-sac edge. So,
almost
exactly. Yeah.
It's a bit about 6 metres.
The carriageway will be 6 generally, but it will be wider here just to allow some manoeuvring for larger vehicles.
And the cul-de-sac reserve, I mean the road reserve, how wide is it? The actual cul-de-sac reserve it.
Now, I don't actually have that figure, but I think it's about 30 metres.
And this road here, is it paved out? Like, how wide's the road?
Six.
Well, no, not that road.
Sorry.
The actual main road that we created, that's been created.
I think it's about 30 metres.
So no,
that's not correct. I don't have a figure just like that, but I can look into it.
That's what I want to know, how much
it is. 8 metres.
Thank you. I was expecting that sort of number.
So
quite close to what people have been asking for.
Okay, let's hold up. We need through the microphone, please. Councillor Crouch, you had a question?
My question was answered with that last answer, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, with the difficulties with the microphones, please make sure that we have don't have the secondary discussions. So, thank you, Councillor Burrows.
Thank you, Mayor. I have two questions. One is I'm presuming that there will also be some way to get from this access lane onto Monday's lane by vehicles. Is that, that's one question. And the other one is, in the stormwater, the part of the stormwater, presumably there's going to be more water coming off this parcel of land now due to the roads and a lot more hard areas. How do we make sure that that water goes off clean into Ferris Lagoon? Is that part of our remit? I don't want any water stopped from going across to the upland wetland, basically.
I'll just ask the Director of Police to respond to that question. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. There's two things at the moment. We have no overt concerns based on what we've seen. But I point out there is a second stage here, Councillor. If the DA was to be approved, there is still another stage where we issue at a later stage, once we've seen more information, the subdivision works certificate. So there's a second stage to that check. So you're not approving the storm water per se with the approval of the DA. That comes later as part of the process. Sorry, Mr. Mayor, I should have said, has the manager got anything different to that?
That's satisfactory. I mean, in terms of development application, we are happy in principle. We don't see an in principle matter which can't be resolved at subdivision work certificate stage. Failing, in terms of a non-in-lot subdivision, we do defer a lot of matters to a second permit because the purpose of the DA is really just to test if it can be done, in essence. With regards to the early point you made just about access from the, I'll call it the safety handle, through to Monday's Lane, that would require provision of a council to include a crossover on council's land there. Just to also respond to your question, Councillor Doran, in terms of the bollards and so on, they're probably in a fairly fluid sort of piece of equipment in terms of how they're used and so on, but I don't see it being any differently to sort of other examples of where there's, certain keys and codes permitted to allow emergency vehicles to go through. So I don't think that's completely answered your question, but my comparison is probably in a gated community where police, fire services, ambulances are provided with a code to access that property. In something like this, there'd be a register to allow emergency services to, insert a code or similar to unlock a bollard.
Okay, councillors. Now, I'm now going to look for a procedural motion. Okay, yes, please.
Sorry, that was just one other thing I forgot to in my notes. On page 54 of the business papers, which is 14 of the DA, it says the proposed cost of the development, the levy percentage and the total contribution. So there's the dollar figure for the total contribution is got too many zeros. It's 9,075, but not 9,0750. Sorry, I missed it before in my notes. That's okay.
So, councillors, we'll make that read 9,750. Thank you. Councillors, I need a procedural motion now. We've got two matters that I'm happy to move that we consider item 14.2, the development application for DA 57-2023 for the subdivision, and also item 14.12, which we have a number of members in the audience for, the proposed licence of the RSL Memorial Hall to Yarralla Neighbourhood Centre. So can I have somebody move the procedural motion? Thank you, Councillor Crouch.
I'm happy to Petrov. Move that, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much. All those in favour? Thank you, councillors. We now go to the recommendation for item 14.2, the development application for DA 57-2023. The recommendation is now as amended.
So if we can catching up, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, we just a moment. We'll make sure we get it
a bit
up.
Slow.
Yeah. Okay, councillors, I'm going to read out the motion in full. Yes. I'll get somebody to move it, then the question. But as far as it all in capitals, that won't be the way it'll appear in the minute. So we'll just move through there. So recommendation for DA 57-23, lot 19 lot subdivision. The council authorises approval of development application DA 57-23 for 19 lot subdivision of lot 4 DP 590685, land on Mondays Lane, Somers Ponds, under delegated authority to the general manager, subject to submission of an amended plan and supporting information, including dedication of emergency access and pedestrian land to council. The future emergency and pedestrian access to be constructed to deliver all weather access to council satisfaction. Compliance with clause 412 of the Yarralla Local Environment Plan 4.6, 2012, and the conditions of consent in the attached notice of determination, except where varied by the above. So if I can have somebody move that, Councillor O'Connor.
I wondered if I could ask a question through you, Mr. Mayor, if someone on a planning sort of query. I would just like to understand, we've got, it may be more of an observation in the end because I think you're going to tell me the answer is no, but I am concerned that I feel that in this rural landscape, you know, I'm sure there's nothing in the legislation or the regulations, but to have a cul-de-sac with bollards seems really out of context to me. We've already got a road going 6 metres wide right through to Mondays Lane now with the reserve that was agreed to, and I appreciate that. It seems to me that it would make sense for that, instead of having bollards and a big cul-de-sac, to have a through road, make cul-de-sac a normal size and just go all the way for 2 more metres wide along that 6 metre road if we've got an 8 metre road. I know that's not what the developer wants to do. I hear that. But when I look at the landscape and I look at that area, to me it's not the place to have bollards, and I do think any kind of delay getting emergency vehicles in is really something we should plan to avoid rather than plan to, particularly in that landscape. So I'm going to assume that there's no way we can have that discussion, but I'd like to ask that question before we vote, please.
I think Councillor Toomey, the staff have had a number of negotiations with the developer and come to what they hope was an acceptable understanding, but at the end of the day, the developer puts his application as it is and has a challenge either way. So, yes, we've now got an emergency access. He doesn't wish to construct further. That's his choice, unfortunately.
So, really, my question was, I want to be really clear that there's no legal framework to ask for that to become a through road. That's what I just want a legal answer on that from our planning staff, or someone who's doing, if you don't mind, whoever.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Toomey, I think the Mayor's pretty much covered it. We have to work within our planning controls in terms of our conditioning of development applications. We have reviewed the application in front of us. We have to assess the application that's submitted, and this is what has been submitted. Council has made it clear that the further provision at the other end of the cul-de-sac is desirable, and in negotiations the applicant has offered the 6-metre access road. We believe it's an acceptable solution. It is quite common in other locations for such an access to be provided with bollards or the like, where emergency vehicles access it. The cul-de-sac arrangement does provide satisfactory access for the 19 lots. This is an addition to that, and of course any increase in the width of that land would impact on the minimum lot size for those lots impacted, and the recommendation will enable the 19 lots to proceed with a 4.6 variation to only one of those lots, subject to that further plan, and any further change would have a greater impact. And in our discussions with the developer and the previous manager, I understand that was a concern. So thank you for the question. And I'll ask the manager if he would like to add anything, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much, Councillor. I don't have a great deal to add other than what the GM has provided. To go to a bitumen seal on a through road, we don't really have a legislative basis to be requesting a second point of access, so we aren't in a position to be demanding extra width.
Councillor Doran.
Thank you, and it's not in the recommendation, and I'm just going on my memory of what the manager planning said before about, so I'm just a little bit confused about, I thought you said something about council purchasing that access because access can be fraught or something. So can you just clarify for me that 6-metre emergency access? So who will own that?
Thank you, Councillor. Under a plan of development or an approved plan and follow-up subdivision certificate, that stretch of land from essentially north to south to the cul-de-sac would be dedicated to council. Yes. So we'd own it and manage it.
Okay. Thank you, councillors. We have moved Councillor O'Connor, if I've got a seconder. Councillor Petroff. Councillors, it's a division decision, so we need all those in favour need to stand, please. Thank you, councillors. We note them now. Councillors, we now move to item 14.12, which is, I'll get the right page. Thank you. Councillors, 14.12, the proposed licence of the RSL Memorial Hall to Yarralla Neighbourhood Centre. A recommendation that that council licensed the occupation of Park 67 in DP 881705, being the RSL Memorial Hall, to the Aralla Neighbourhood Centre Incorporated for a period of 2 years for the purposes of managing the facility and delivering community support services to residents and families in the Aralla Shire. And two, the General Manager executes the licence under delegated authority. Have I got somebody prepared to move that? Councillor O'Connor. Any questions, councillors? Councillor Doran.
Thank you. I'm wondering, has this been... I'm pleased with the motion, don't get me wrong. I'm just wondering, has council liaised with the Neighbourhood Centre team on this?
Thank you. Through you, Mr Mayor, could I invite the Acting Director, Corporate and Community, to provide further advice on that, please?
Through you, Mr Mayor. Yes, we've had many conversations with the Neighbourhood Centre. I will extend my apologies to the team at the Neighbourhood Centre. We did drop the ball when we finally got a report up to council to not give them a call and say, heads up, the report's coming. So my apologies, management team from the Neighbourhood Centre. But yes, there's been numerous conversations with the team over the road.
Any other questions? Councillor Petrov?
I'd just like to give, for those councillors who aren't aware, a little bit of information in regards to the Neighbourhood Centre. This is run by Eurala Community Volunteers. There are no paid employees at the Community Centre. It's open every day. It runs the food bank and food for emergencies. There is a drop-in centre every day. They gave out Christmas hampers. They gave out 25 in Bundara alone. It's a referral agency, particularly for women or anybody in a domestic violence situation. Every week they have a seniors group. They have a shower and washing machine. It's all equipped, towels. So often if they have bikies coming through who need somewhere to sleep, they have mattresses, blankets, towels. And for a small fee, they give them accommodation, which is great for our town. They have a disco every term for the kids in the community, and they put on an expo where the community can be informed of what actually happens in the building and in the town. They do charge for use of the hall, but if it's for a non-profit organisation, there is no charge. They are totally self-funded. So these volunteers have to raise every penny that they get to put back into the community. And they try to keep their charges as low as possible. And we were talking yesterday at the meeting about for emergency services, if that could be set up, which they're more than willing to do, but they already do have mattresses and sheets and towels and things, so they're on their way for that. And I'm thrilled after 2.5 years on council to see us now supporting them. There are a number of us who've fought for this for a while, and I would like to see us encourage them, which they used to do, to things like catering for the dinner in NAIDOC week, for the youth activities they have, working with the council for that, and just those different sorts of activities. It would be great to see us as a council behind them, supporting what I think is a great community, whatever. And thank you, girls.
Thank you, Councillor Petrov. Councillor Crouch, you had a question?
Rather a statement rather than a question, or speak towards it.
I was going to say, I was not sure whether Councillor Petrov was for or against, so...
I note in the report that council is going to use these 2 years to develop a management plan. I'd just like to encourage council staff to work with the current staff and volunteers over the road there to develop that management plan. That's all.
Thank you. Councillor McMullen.
I also would like to congratulate the staff. I believe you're doing a great job, particularly with some of our families doing it tough. And I'll be talking with you in particular, Kath, in short order about housing needs in our town. But I'd also like to foreshadow that Urala is going to have to very soon identify a place, a central location, whereby we can establish an emergency accommodation area for, who knows, floods, bushfires, tornadoes. We've had them all in the last few years, where people that are displaced have somewhere to live on a short-term basis until other accommodation is found. So I'd simply like to flag that I would like council staff to negotiate similarly with you to have it declared an emergency centre. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I might just comment on that. We do have a recognised emergency evacuation centre in the showgrounds, and an audit was done last year to ensure that the supplies were required, you know, the equipment that's there is required. As part of our review of our recovery plan, which we've done in consultation with the new reconstruction authority, we certainly are looking at other locations where we can provide, from which we can provide recovery support in the event of an emergency, and certainly we would welcome the opportunity to discuss that further with our colleagues here. We have a role in terms of emergency management, and both Mr. Raby and myself have been actively involved in emergency management planning as part of the local emergency management committee here for the area with Urala and Armidale working together with all of the agencies. And we have recently reviewed all that documentation, but Mr. Raby will continue to review and consult with relevant stakeholders in that ongoing process. So thank you for your comments.
Councillor Toomey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm really pleased to see this. I just wanted to add two things. This actually came in different form, as you will recall, Mr. Mayor, to the last council, and that's where we fought particularly hard to get this extended so there was to be a management plan developed some time ago. So Councillor Petrov wouldn't be aware, but that was a discussion had, and that's why I'm really grateful that the guys are still in the Memorial Hall now. And I'm glad to see this come back and to see it renewed and to see the management plan. I totally endorse what Councillor Crouch is saying. We just need to get that in place. That we've had a few years already, but we're now on the right track, and I'm really grateful for that. Just two comments I want to make about fees, if I can. I don't know that whether it needs to be part of a lease agreement or part of the wording that we constantly get, you know, questions about hiring the hall, and it's obviously it's a sublet arrangement, but it would be great if those fees could be published on the either on councils and the neighbourhood centre's website, whatever works, but I think that should be there. And not-for-profit groups are charged. That's okay with me, but they are, and that's as it should be. I don't have any problem with that. But I think that, you know, that's part of how they make them. They've got to maintain the building, so they've, you know, it can't be just free for not, it doesn't work. So I completely endorse that, but I just wanted to throw that out there publicly so that, you know, that the team didn't walk away thinking they were now obligated to offer free not-for-profit group rent. So I just wanted to clarify that. But I felt just that transparency around fees would help us as councillors, I think as council, because people still see it as a council asset, and it can help us in those conversations. So that'd be, but really support this going forward in the management plan. Thank you.
Councillor Doran.
Thank you. I'm just looking at the agreement sort of table on 205, page 205. And I'm just wondering about, it's saying the licensee will at the licensee's expense keep the premises, equipment, fittings and installations in good repair, maintained clean and tidy. But I'm wondering about the more significant things like the big lights that are throughout the centre of the hall. I can't remember what they're called, but they take, you know, 10 minutes to come on and warm up, and they really would be great if they could be changed over to an LED or something much more efficient to run. So I'm just wondering, where does that sit as far as the getting down the detail for the neighbourhood centre, as far as, like, what I'm wondering, is the council grants officer in a position, or are we in a position for that, the grants officer, to be able to assist with finding a grant that could do that lighting switchover? It's been a discussion that's been sort of on the cards for the last few years. I know I've spoken to Director of Infrastructure about it before, and I was just wondering, it might be a timely opportunity to just raise it now.
And through you, Mr. Mayor, invite the Acting Director to provide further advice on both questions.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Councillor Doran, because it was actually a question raised by the Management Committee, the Treasurer, to say, look, can we have some clarification around the extent of our obligation in managing the facility? To answer your question, your first question, the intention of this proposed clause, and there's still some conversations that we need to have with the Management Committee to iron everything out. The intention was the day-to-day maintenance and management would be the responsibility of the committee. Anything that goes to structure, the structural integrity of the building, significant cost items or asset improvement items remains the responsibility of council. And we would, for the assurance of the committee, we would be looking at putting words to that effect into the licence agreement, which is the temporary agreement, whilst we work through all these things, but it would certainly form part of any long-term management agreement.
And the
lights would fall under that. As far as pursuing grant opportunities, our grant officer certainly can, for any of council's assets, can continue looking for grants that would save energy, but also improve the utility of the asset.
Thanks, councillors. No further questions. I'll be looking for a... I have Councillor O'Connor moved it. A seconder, please. Councillor Doran. All those in favour? Thank you. Councillors, will now revert back to... item 11... Councillors, we had a very sensible suggestion from Councillor Toomey. So would that, where we try and put that information electronically available for anybody wishing to see it, and it doesn't disappear because of the link. So are we able, Councillor Toomey, are you able to put words, or have I put item four? How do I deal with that in that recommendation?
If we said, if we add item four, unless, when is it? Yeah, so if we just said item four, and if I can just refer to a conversation I had with the Manager of Governance, who indicated maybe he could add an attachment under the February papers in the, well, on the website. So it was there, I think he might have indicated that was the easiest way to do it, but he might have it, that might be the technical way that dictates the words, maybe.
Yeah, thanks. I think the acting director has some words to add to the include. I think we're referring to including a full copy of the cost shifting report in this agenda.
Suggest that a full copy of the report be included in the minutes in lieu of a hyperlink.
Thank you, Councillor Toomey. So on that basis, I will move that Council receives and notes the findings of the Local Government New South Wales Cost Shifting Report on the 2001-2002 financial year and places a copy of the Cost Shifting Report on Council's website so that all our communities can access it. Three, writes to the Premier, the New South Wales Treasurer, the New South Wales Minister for Local Government, our local member, the Honourable Adam Marshall, seeking that the State Government urgently addresses the issues through a combination of regulatory reform, budgetary provision and appropriate funding. And four, includes a full copy of the LGNSW cost shifting report in the minutes. And was a hyperlink or in lieu of a hyperlink. Can I have somebody second that? Councillor.
Just go in with item two.
Felt that it wasn't clear enough, and Councillor Toomey's point was well made, that once that link disappears, once that site closes down, nobody will be able to go back and look at it. So, thank you. So, we've got a seconder. Thank you, Councillor Toomey. All those in favour? Thank you. Passed. Item 12.1, Notice of Motion, Constitutional Referendum. Councillor Doran, it's your motion. You get the first crack.
Thank you for the invitation, but I don't know if I need to speak to it. I feel like there's been so much talking about this and it's really quite confusing now, so I don't really want to start the conversation.
All right, well... calm down, please, everyone. I'm going to read it out because it is a notice of motion. However, we also have an alternative notice of motion, which I'll then give Councillor O'Connor an opportunity to read out. So I was trying to be fair. So the recommendation is that Council resolves to hold a constitutional referendum in conjunction with the next ordinary Council election due to September 2024 to seek community opinion, Local Government Act 1993, Chapter 4, Part 3, with respect to A, abolishing wards in the Aralashire Council area, Local Government Act 1993, Division 2, Section 16A, and changing the basis in which the mayor obtains office from election by electors to election by councillors, Local Government Act 1993, Division 2, Section 16B, proposes that the constitutional referendum question be, do you support abolishing wards and that the mayor be decided by the councillors who are elected by the representative. Now, that's the foreshadowed motion. The original motion, I'll now read, that Council resolves to hold a constitutional referendum in conjunction with the next ordinary Council election due in September 2024 to seek community opinion under the Local Government Act, Chapter 4, Part 3, with respect to reverting back to three wards in the Aralashire Council area, Local Government Act 1993, Division 2, Section 16. A, and change the basis which the changes the basis on which the mayor obtains office from election by electors to election by councillors, Local Government Act 1993, Division 2, Section 16B. 2, proposes a constitutional referendum question be, do you support reverting back to three wards, A, B and C, and that the mayor be decided by the councillors who are elected as your representatives? So, in fairness, Councillor Doran, I'll invite you to speak first, please, to that the one I've just read out, given it's your motion.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I still stand by the motion that I put forward. I feel that this has created confusion amongst us. So I think it's going to create confusion more broadly. On the back of the referendum being such a strong no vote, I feel like people are ready to say no. So I'm just not sure where to go with this now. I truly believe we would be in a better position, and we would have been over the last number of years in a better position if we'd had a mayor who was elected by the councillors. A popularly elected mayor, when you've got a good one, which we do, and thank goodness we do, but in difficult times when that isn't the case, there's nowhere to move, no way to manage that situation. You're locked in for 4 years, and I'm deeply concerned for what the future could hold with that in place. So I still hold firm to that belief, but I don't know the way forward to fix it. So anyway, that's all I've got to say, really.
So, Councillor Doran, on that basis, can I, without putting words, can I have you move that recommendation and then we'll talk to the alternate recommendation? Are you happy to do that?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yes. I'm happy to move that motion. It failed last time, so I'm not expecting a different result. Einstein's theory and everything. So we'll see how that goes.
Okay.
Sure.
Thank you. Councillor O'Connor, you wish to speak to your...
Mr. Mayor, I'll speak as speaking against the motion, only because I believe that there is a simpler way forward, and the acting interim director of corporate, etc., has provided us with a very good... Remember the workshop? We went through all the various options, and he's outlined the options now, and you've got option one and option two. Now, option one is really going forward with what is the motion before us. Option two is to actually ask a two-part question, and that two-part question can have four answers. There could be two no's. One no, one yes, one no, and two yeses. And in each one of those tests the community as to what they want. And so what you ask is the question, are you in favour of the mayor being elected by councillors? They can say yes or no. Are you in favour of abolishing wards? Yes or no. We will find out whether or not there is a requirement in the community to have the mayor elected by councillors or not, and we test whether or not the oft-expressed opinion that there should be wards or not wards will be tested as well. So that's the reason for it. I come to this as a person who has worked in local government under both mayors elected at large and mayors elected by the council, mayors and shire presidents. And I'm being a councillor now with two mayors elected by at large. So I think I'm personally in favour of a mayor elected by councillors. But I also say that a mayor, a council is elected by everybody, that makes the mayor that's elected by the councillors representing or being sort of, there's a line of appointment by the community of the mayor, by their representatives, everyone, not a one third of this one and one third of that one and one third of the others. So that's the reason why I think it's a, my personal opinion, it's an argument that can be put to the council and it to the community in clear terms. You've got two choices for both of them and outcomes for each of them. So that's why I put the alternative motion. Thank you.
Councillor Kraft.
I have a question. I'm not sure who to. Can we ask two questions? Or does the referendum have to be just one question?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. We've had two different bits of advice, but essentially the same. Through the Office of Local Government, they would say that it's better to ask one question, but noting that if you start compounding that question with two ideas or two propositions, the risk of getting an unintended outcome becomes higher. So the Office of Local Government is saying ask one question. The Electoral Commission saying you can ask as many questions as you like, go for broke. But again, the more questions you ask, the greater the number of variations of outcomes that Councillor O'Connor has referred to, and the more likely or the higher the risk that you will have potentially a mutually exclusive outcome. So to answer your question, Councillor Cratch, yes, you can ask more than one question.
We are in a somewhat unusual situation in that we have to... We're seeking an answer to the first question there. Are you in favour of the Mayor being elected by the councillors? Whether we then have wards or not have wards will be the subject of possibly more debate within the community. But most of us, well, we feel one way or another, but not as strongly as we do on the first question. So I'm in favour of those two questions.
Sorry, Councillor Doran, you have a question.
I'm wondering if we, as Councillor O'Connor is suggesting, because I wasn't sure if that was going to be part of this motion or not, because it's not actually there as a recommendation. It's quite confusing in my mind. I just wasn't sure how this was going to run at all. But I'm happy to also consider the two questions. I'm wondering if the second question, I feel that the word abolishing, I feel like people will see that as something that's being taken away from them. So I'm wondering, is it worth considering saying, are you in favour of keeping wards?
Any other, Councillor Crout? Sorry, I'll just go to the others first that haven't spoken. Councillor Burrows?
Well, I have something to say about this, and then I also have a statement. I like the second set of questions for their simplicity, and I'm worried if we say if you're keeping the wards, it's going to get even more confusing. I think that we really need to get out there and sell to the community that the wards actually mean nothing. And I would also like to point out that on page 28... in the council implications, community engagement, communication as per engagement strategy, at the end of that it says councillors may have to travel more throughout the shire instead of representing their wards. I find this misleading. I currently nominees for council can run in any ward. The only stipulation is that you reside in the shire. Elected councillors represent the entire Yooralla Shire community. Community, not any one portion of it. In reality, wards prevent the community from being able to vote for the broader pool of nominees. They're limited to only nominees in the ward that they can vote in. So, in effect, the wards can allow people to go into a ward that has, they have a higher likelihood of being voted in. So they can use it to their advantage. But that is the only thing that a ward can do. Like, we need to get out there and explain to people that wards are not actually a useful tool of council.
Thank you. And that's a great comment, because that just makes me remember that and think about that in the past when we've had candidates that have lived in and been in the Bundara community, that they... So say if we're three wards, right? So Bundara community is quite spread out. It can be not incredibly connected with the Yooralla Township. So people in the Yooralla Township may not know the candidates in Bundara. So if there is a ward for that area, then the people of Bundara have an opportunity to vote just for their people that might be standing for them. So I think that's, for me, the thing with wards, is that it divides up, even though we know that we can stand in any ward, the way the three-ward structure did work is that people that were standing, like people had that option. So if there were three candidates in Bundara, they could stand in that ward and they would have more chance, I think, than if it was an open slather and everyone who might know more people in Yooralla. I don't feel like I'm explaining this very well. But I, and if someone can help save me, maybe Bob Crouch, Councillor Crouch might be able to help me. But do you know what I'm trying to say? Is that if we divide it, if it's, while it's divided up, then there's opportunity for people who know that person and are more likely to vote for them, to, that they're going to garner that support. Whereas if it's all, and you see this in places like, say, Tamworth, where Manila's been forgotten because there's no one representative from that area. Like, I don't know. That's what I'm just trying to put out there as how people might feel about wards.
Councillor Burrows?
I'd really like to reply to that. I think it's really dangerous to talk about people standing in their own wards. As a councillor, you represent the entire shire. And if that's not how you think, you shouldn't stand. No, that's the bottom line. We are not in any particular area, and we need to make people understand that whether you're urban or rural, we're here for the shire. I understand what you're trying to say, but it's just, it's legally not right.
Thanks. Councillor McMullen?
I disagree. I disagree basically with everything that's been said to this point in time. We have a system at the present moment. Look around you. I believe we are a very effective council led by a very effective mayor. We stood in two wards, and that's what our constituents have. Those two wards give them ownership. I don't know the number of times I have responded to phone calls where people have said, you're my councillor because you're in Ward A. I have this issue for you to discuss. And I know of other councillors among you have heard from outlying areas, you are my representative because you are in Ward B. I believe our community enjoys, no, I believe they support that differentiation between urbanites. I mean, gee whiz, Yooralla being urban is a bit of a stretch in itself. But those of us in the more, or sorry, those of our constituents that are more in the outlying areas do like to have some ownership of the people that is standing for them. And I have also had a number of discussions with people who have said, if we revert back to a council elected mayoral responsibility, they will be very upset because they believe, and you've heard me say it, but I've had other people say it to me, democracy ends at local government. And here people have a chance to elect by voting a person that will represent all of them. And that's what they appreciate. So in words of one syllable, I am against, that's two syllables, the ref. In any form. Thank you.
Councillor Petrov.
I agree with Bruce. The more I've thought about this, when Leanne said about maybe we should put, rather than abolish wards, do you want wards? Well, yes, if they vote yes, well, then how many wards have they voted for? We don't have a number there. I think we have more control than we really do of what people choose to do. We can't control who's going to run in the next lot of elections. We can't control who's going to vote for who. I agreed originally that the councillors should vote for the mayor because we had had the previous experience. But when you think back to that previous experience, that same mayor would have been voted in for those five people. We still would have had that same mayor, whether the town had voted for him or the councillors had voted for him. You don't have that much control. All we do have control over is what we do as councillors, and we're doing that now in that we go round to each community to show that we're working for all of them, as not Bruce working for the town community or whatever. So that's how we prove ourselves. So I don't see any point in changing what we have now.
Councillor Toomey? I'll go back with you. Your chat.
I was just waiting to see if anyone was going to put their hand up. So I did want to just make a comment. I've been thinking a lot about how we are... So I think I need to preface this again, as I have before. Absolutely nothing to do with the incumbent mayor or councillors. But I just want to say future-proofing our council is what I'm really thinking about, and I think that's a phrase Councillor Doran's shared, and I think that's exactly where my head is. I'm thinking of my experience before being a councillor when I addressed council and as a private citizen and was horrified by the three-ring circus, really, I think is probably best description, petitions that were hidden and lost and all sorts of horrible things that happened. And then my experience as a councillor, and then things that, you know, I think, oh, look, it's not bad, it's not a terrible system, but it could be better. It could really be improved quite simply. I think having been in the room for the last term, I know how easy one or two people could swing their vote one way or another, and I don't know who would have gotten the hot seat line, to be Councillor Petrov, to be completely honest with you at times. That wind changed constantly. And it isn't as much about control as it is about thinking about, I think you made the points have been made by others, who will put their hand up for council, but who will put their hand up for mayor? And it's not an easy job, as we have all seen, and it is, 4 years is a really long time to make that commitment. Whether you're semi-retired or retired, my goodness, that is a huge job. It's a 4-year job. I think, you know, we're very fortunate in the incumbent, but I do feel that it's going to be a big ask for a lot of good people to put their hand up for the next term for 4 years. But it's quite possible when you have a, and the next term isn't going to apply to this, it's the one after if things change, so I'm not, but I'm just saying, the next time there is an opportunity and people can say, they all stand for election, all the community have chosen all the nine, any of the nine could become a councillor elected mayor, and the term is 2 years. It also means that if something goes horribly wrong during that term and, you know, a mayor is removed, there's not an election. You know, if there's a big bust-up and the mayor's out, there's no, what, 40k cost to council, to staff and community and council, sorry, in terms of an election cost either. I think we've got to remember what a mayor's job is and what a councillor's job is in this conversation. Wards are, you know, I know people are wedded to them. They are as irrelevant as, you know, pick something irrelevant, but they're really irrelevant. They just don't mean anything. And I would just encourage anyone, if you get a phone call saying you're my councillor because I voted for you, you should remind them that I'm here for everybody, not just for you, because that's the bottom. That's actually your legal obligation as a councillor. And the mayor's role, I've had so many conversations with people trying to talk to people about standing for council, Ed for mayor. And they ask me about the role, and we go to the Local Government Act and we look at the role of the mayor. And I feel like next time we have council elections, someone in the paper needs to put the CV up of all these people. If they're going to run for mayor, we need people who have good people management skills. We need people who are good negotiators in the rooms with these developers. We need people who are good at managing and chairing meetings. We have been lucky this time. We need to not take this for granted and be really proactive as a community about the next person. And if they know that's what we're going to look for, it'll scare off probably nearly everybody. So we need to be really clear about what it is that a mayor does and how we're going to make sure we support people being in that role. I think the councillor-elected system does provide the opportunity for people to do it for, I think, a distinctly more manageable period of time. And it means that they are still elected by the community, still put there with the full force of council and the support of council. There's no difference in any of that. I don't care about wards because I understand, but I get that the community will need some conversation there. But I feel that we need to be really mindful of what a mayor's role is. And as nine, we will be able to interrogate each other a bit about that if we were in that position and understand what the skill sets are that we're looking at. It is such a critical role. So I think Councillor O'Connor's proposal might be where I would lean, just to be honest, and I think that's worth putting to the community. I think perhaps the wording of do you want to keep the wards? I don't know. I kind of see the psychology of both options. But I feel that the decision to elect or not is hard for the community to grasp the issues, but the difficulty of managing the wrong person out or like managing at all, not out, it's not about that, but it's about managing them You know, there's no provision in the Act for the mayor. It's like a vote of no confidence is like a slap with a feather. It's just nothing. And that's all we've got. So we need to just be aware of signing something off for 4 years that you cannot do anything about, and the community wears the cost and the stress and the angst of something going wrong, which I don't want to see happen again, and I'm deeply grateful it has been such a positive term for this community for this term. It's a future-proofing discussion that I think we're having. Thank you.
Councillor Cratch.
At the last, or following the last referendum 12 years ago, there was considerable confusion in the community as to what they'd actually voted on. Or I believe there was, in the feedback I got. I believe they'd like another opportunity to have a say. I think those two questions in option two are simple and straightforward. And I believe that stands us the best, well, as a council perspective, the best chance of getting us what we want. Wards are useful sometimes. We all represent the whole shire. There's no argument about that, because that's in the Act. But people do feel a degree of ownership of councils that they voted for in their wards. And I can see some benefit in that, in them targeting councillors they want to speak to, because they feel those councillors have been elected by the people in that ward and they probably have a better understanding, which may or may not be right. So I very much, at this stage, favour we go forward with the referendum and ask those two questions.
Councillor O'Connor.
Mr. Mayor, listening to everyone's discussion and particularly the use of the word abolish, I've looked at the referendum questions that have been posed in the past by other councillors, and I would favour, instead of saying are you in favour of abolishing wards, are you in favour of the removal of the current ward-based system so that all electors vote for all nine councillors that represent the Eurola Shire council area?
So that,
which I think that clears what...
I haven't read that. Oh. It came in emails, didn't it? Is it?
No, it's on your table.
Sorry, there was a whole lot of paperwork. Yes. Thank you. Yep. Great.
Councillor O'Connor, can you adjust your words before we go further forward with any of the discussion, please?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, do we all get a speak here? Am I allowed to talk? I'm over here. I'm going like this.
Can you ask Councillor Doran if that's
okay?
I'm going
to give you this.
Okay. Get this up,
Ryan.
I'll absolutely allow you, and I'll get Councillor O'Connor to turn his mic off so you get a fair chance.
Mr. Mayor, the interim director has brought up a very good point that if the first answer is no, right, then the number isn't nine. So So if we just say all councillors represent, rather than putting a definitive number in.
Do you have this?
Because I'm pretty sure I don't have it.
No, that's
right. Oh, you
Councillors, how about we have a 5-minute break? Councillor Doran's just moved it. We'll get him back. We're just going to get some more direction from the interim director, and then Mr. Bower, Councillor Bower, will be the first one to speak after our 5-minute thing. So move Councillor Doran, second to Councillor Bower, that we have 5-minute adjournment. Thank you. Coffee. Okay, councillors, we'll resume the council meeting at 5:49, and councillors, pizza will be hot at 6:30. If we go past that, it won't be hot. So we'll stop again. Councillor Bower.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor, and I enjoyed the break. Listening to everybody, what they've been saying, and I'll put my cards on the table. The wards have worked in the past, there's no doubt about that, but we've got to modernise things because our communication, our travel, our et cetera, has certainly gone well above what it was 10 years ago. So what I'm getting out of abolishing wards would be in my favour because of the history. Look around here. We're lucky at the moment. It was mentioned over there a while ago. We have a council that's working very well. We have a council staff that is very, very productive as opposed to what could have been different. And I congratulate that. And I'm not a brown noser. I'm not one of those sort of people that I give too many accolades to, so congratulations. It's a pleasure to come to these council meetings, I can assure you. I am worried about the future. And why I say the future, I'd love to be able to abolish the wards right now, because if you get the whole Yarralla Shire and people put up their hand, nominate for the 9 or 10 positions or whatever, you will get the best of. When it's segregated into wards, it'll be sometimes open to what's happened in the past. And do we ever want to see that get to that again? I don't. I really don't. It was just poison. And a couple of councillors that are in the room at the moment were there, and they were mice in the corner because of the way it was loaded. So this is where I've been thinking all the way along. Councillor O'Connor put up a good, it's got to go out, and he's done a very good job there. Councillor Doran, I know you didn't get your word across. I'd really like to congratulate you on the second point. It was really good. You got a bit tongue-tied there at one stage. But I think most of us knew what you were getting at, okay? So I would say and support Councillor O'Connor's second motion. Thank you.
Councillors, have we all had a chance to read the alternate motion? Because what I'm going to do, with Councillor Doran and Councillor O'Connor's concurrence, is remove the original motion. Councillor Doran, are you happy to do that, or do you want to proceed with the original motion there?
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to withdraw the original motion, take it off the table. I think that we've had really robust discussions. I'm very happy to do that. One small change I would suggest, though, if the words can just get back. But I thought in the second part of the question, we could perhaps just remove a couple of the words to streamline it a little bit. So when that's back on the screen.
Councillors, we don't have it moved, so any discussions from Councillor Doran and Councillor O'Connor can be put in place before we actually look for Councillor O'Connor to move.
I was just going to suggest that the point two, which is there is point three, but will become point two. Are you in favour of removing the current? No, hang on. Removing the current.
We took out.
Oh, you've already changed it. Oh, thank goodness. Yeah, forget that. Because it was clunky before. I was just going to.
Okay. So, councillors, so we can move this forward, rather than being called an alternate motion, I'm going to ask if Councillor O'Connor would like to move the motion on that, so we'll just call it, now be the motion. You can, yeah, sorry, just give me a sec. The recommendation is that... I need to go back, yes. Okay, the recommendation now is that Council resolves to hold a constitutional referendum in conjunction with the next ordinary Council election due in September 2024 to seek community opinion under the Local Government Act 1993, Chapter 4, Part 3, with the following constitutional referendum questions. One, are you in favour of the Mayor being elected by the Councils? Two, are you in favour of removing the current ward systems so that all electors vote for all councillors that represent the Yarralumla Shire area?
So can we take the word based? Sorry, can we take the word based out? Just ward systems.
Mm-hmm. Councillor O'Connor, are you happy with... Okay, so we're taking out based?
System singular.
Okay. So, councillors, given that this is a new one again, well, I'm going to put that down as moved by Councillor O'Connor. I'm going to ask people for their comments to go around the, again, please. So anybody has any concerns about that before I put it as a motion? Okay, Councillor Doran, you'll second it.
So sorry, I thought... You're going to go around the room and people would say something. The only thing I was going to say is instead of the Roman numerals 1 and 2, can we just make it 1 as in a 1 and 2 as in a 2, please? Just to make it really just clear and simple.
Yes, that will be done. We're just waiting for the system.
Okay, so councillors, moved by Councillor O'Connor, seconded by Councillor Doran, that council resolves to hold a constitutional referendum in conjunction with the next ordinary council election due in September 2024 to seek community opinion, Local Government Act 1993, Chapter 4. I'll get it back, please. Thank you. With the following constitutional referendum questions. One, are you in favour of the Mayor being elected by the councillors? Two, are you in favour of removing the current ward system so that all electors vote for all councillors that represent the Yarralumla Shire Council area? All those in favour? Those against? Councillor McMullen, your vote will be recorded against. Thank you. Thank you, councillors. We'll now move on to 14.1, membership. Oh, sorry. I thought I had it. Yeah, thanks for that. Back. 13.1, report from committees, Audit, Risk and Improvement Committee meeting the 15th of January 2024, the summary report. We have a recommendation that Council receives and notes the summary report of the Audit, Risk and Improvement Committee meeting held the 15th of January 2024. Have I got somebody prepared to move that recommendation? Councillor Toomey, would you like to speak to it, Councillor Toomey?
I think that all I wanted to add when I was sort of reading through it and reviewing the minutes, and that there's nothing to change or alter in any way. What I just felt is worth councillors thinking about is remembering what you might want to put to me to convey to the committee. This is really important that you remember that's why I'm there. And I probably want to make sure this next discussion that we really make sure as a council, yes, council laws, governing body discussion, feeds into ARIC the issues that we're going through with RES and VPAs. And I think that I wasn't quite sure what it was at the time, but one thing, when I left the room at the last ARIC meeting, I felt that the disconnect was perhaps their awareness of that being omnipresent in our lives. When we talk about some of the challenges, and we talked about some economic challenges, I felt they were just thinking of general economic stuff. And we need to really, I need to do a better job of making sure that they understand the ties and the burden on our community and the challenges that we're facing in that extremely fast-paced, difficult landscape, and the risk to council, I think, needs, you know, I would love some help articulating that better for them. But I feel that's something, as I left, I reflected that maybe I wasn't as clear in that discussion. Some of the comments in hindsight, I thought, oh, I don't think they really see how deeply connected that is with our council reality and our community's reality. But otherwise, I think they're really, really supportive and functional, ARIC, and I'm really grateful. I appreciate the internal audit discussion that's been had, and those things are all, you know, where I sort of think I understood a bit more about that. So that I think it's a really good ARIC, and we're in a good position, and we can actually, I think, leverage into their expertise in some of the things that we're dealing with as well in the RES and the VPAs and those different discussions possibly too. And I'd just like to make sure we really keep them front and centre about what those issues are so that we can get their help if ever we feel we want to lean in, because they offer. When they see something, they've been very proactive. So, anyway, that's my only observation, but thank you.
Thank you. About any questions? Can I have a seconder? You have a question or a seconder?
I'll second it and have a question.
What is it? I have to think about that. Yes, Councillor McMahon.
That is within the rules, Mr. Mayor. Page 29 of item 13.1, fourth point, the one right at the bottom. The General Manager provided the committee with a verbal update, etc. It's on page 29 of the papers, and it says, worker accommodation stroke housing strategy, the council and administration remains focused on progressing a housing strategy and tackling issues such as worker accommodation pressure anticipated as a consequence of REZ projects. Terrific. But we no longer have funding to write a housing strategy. I am of the belief, and I'm floating it past all of you at this point in time, it might be time to form a subcommittee to actually work towards coming up with a strategy or a framework or a backbone so that we can write our own. Thank you.
We'll take that on board separately to this, but yeah, I appreciate your thoughts. I appreciate that. Absolutely. Thank you. Any other questions before I put the motion?
I've got the next ARIC meeting at 1 p.m. on the 4th of March. Is that right? That's right, is it? Yeah, good.
Thank you. I'll put the motion, moved by Councillor Toomey, seconded by Councillor McMullen. The Council receives and notes the summary report of the Audit, Risk and Improvement Committee meeting held on the 15th of January 2024. All those in favour? Thank you. Unanimous. Now I can do it. 14.1, the membership, Bundara School of Arts Hall and Community Consulting Section 355 Committee, a recommendation that Council accepts the membership application received from Miss Jennifer Deezus and appoints her as the member of the Bundara School of Arts Hall and Community Consolidated 355 Committee. Councillor Dorn, you're happy to move that? Councillor Crouch, you're happy to second it? Anybody got any questions? Put the motion. All those in favour? Thank you very much. 14.2, councillors, we've dealt with. Council 14.3, rural property signs proposal. Councillor Toomey, you'll notice there's been a slight amendment to the recommendation, as suggested. Page 132, councillors. Okay, councillors, so the recommendation is that council note the intention of the Yarralla Rural Property Address Scheme is based on a voluntary participation by rural landowners who would only be subjected to the charge if they ordered the rural property address sign. Two, notes the full recovery cost of council for supplying and installing a rural property address sign is assessed to be $360 per unit. And three, endorses the inclusion of a $360 fee in the draft 2024-25 fees and charges, being the fee for individual property owners who wish to participate in the Yarralla Rural Property Address Signage Scheme. We've got somebody prepared to move that? Councillor Toomey, the seconder. Councillor Bower, because I missed him. Yeah, we can have questions.
Thank you. The discussions in the community that I've been privy to about this, people are looking, people in Yarralla Shire are looking to some of our neighbouring shires where those councils have been able to attain some funding of one sort of another and provided reduced fees. So I just wondered if I could mention that and that there may be some community discussion might come up about the fees. So I wanted to mention it in that context. And also wondering, again, and sorry to put work potentially for the grants writer, but if that is something that could potentially be investigated, if there could be any funding that might reduce the cost of that at all, is just what I wanted to mention, please.
Councillor Doran, are you aware which councils have got that funding and where they might have gone? That might save some of the work for our grants officer.
Yeah, well, I'm fairly confident. I haven't done the research myself, but what I understand is that Walker Shire had a reduced fee, but I understand, though, that there were some life-threatening or emergency-type situations in that shire and there was confusion with addresses, and so when that was rolled out, it was perhaps done under that funding sort of. So that's what I understand. I haven't done the actual investigation myself to know, hand on heart, that that's what happened, but that's what the community seemed to be thinking, that they even think, yeah, I've even heard that there wasn't any charge, but I don't know if that's true or not. But I just wanted to mention, that's all.
All right, thank you for that. The General Manager's staff can chase that up with Walker. So, councillors, we have a motion moved by Councillor Toomey, seconded by Councillor Bower. The council notes the intention of the Yarralla Rural Properties Address Scheme is based on the voluntary participation by landowners who would only be subject to the charge if they ordered a rural property address sign. Two, notes the full recovery cost to council for supplying and installing a rural property address sign is assessed to be $360 per unit. It endorses the inclusion of the $360 fee in the draft 2024-25 fees and charges, being the fee for individual rural property owners who wish to participate in the Yarralla Rural Property Address Scheme. All those in favour? Thank you, councillors. Item 14.4, Project Updates, Public Spaces Legacy Program. General Manager, you might ask the Director to update us, please.
Yes, please, Mr. Thank you, Mr. Raby. Could you provide advice to Council on the legacy projects?
I can. In sum total, legacy projects are going really well, as you would have seen. I think we are nearing the end. The last thing really to happen at the Glen is the final installation, the final artworks. I understand there's still two to go. The over the road is, as we all know, was getting a lot of comments, and I can only imagine what it's going to be like when we get the artwork in. So, that's fantastic. Rotary Park is essentially finished. We need to do a little bit of gardening there. The big news, though, breaking this afternoon, is that Australia's astronomer at large, Professor Fred Watson, would be honoured to come to our opening of the Glen, recovering his original opening 23 or 24 years ago. So we've just got to set the day. We've got to negotiate that with the funding body, but that's exciting. And we've now opened, we told him no, we were honoured to have him, and we're now opening negotiations with him to see if he'll do a science in the pub session while he's up here and a few other things. So, I commend the report to council.
Thank you, Mr. Raby. Councillors, any questions? Councillor Tammy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was just hoping to get a community garden update too, if I could please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, through you. I have started discussions with Kath, who's Kath. There's a Catherine, there's a Kath. Kathy. Sorry. So discussing with Kathy. She was here tonight. That's Catherine. Catherine. The next step, I've essentially clearly flagged our readiness to conduct a handover, and the next thing that is going to happen is the organisation of a bit of a team session between those involved at the community centre and appropriate staff, and we'll figure out exactly how to do that and under what circumstances. We've discussed a potential licensing, which produces a document that can be demonstrated with any future council as to why they're there and under what circumstances. And really, it's what they would like. The key question I've put to them is, what would they like done with it prior to us handing it over? We could turn it back into a ready-to-plant patch. We could do a whole range of things. So that'll come out of that workshop. But those discussions are now underway.
Councillors, any other questions?
Just one other question. I know that I've asked this before, just in relation to an opening. Rotarians with Rotary Park have been quite interested to get a Rotary kind of, you know, Rotary people to come and have an opening of the park. So I'm wondering if we know when the opening might be, or whether Rotary could do their own like soft opening and have their own little barbecue, or how that, or maybe we can talk about that offline in the future. I just wanted to flag it, please.
Thank you. All right. So I actually don't have a mover, so I apologise. Can somebody move the motion? Councillor Bowes, seconded Councillor Doran. That Council notes the update and status report for the Rotary Park project, the Pioneer Park project and the Glen project. All those in favour? Thank you. Councillors, 14.5, the tree management guidelines. Recommendation that Council notes the submissions received, notes the staff responses and amendments to the guidelines related to the submissions, and adopts the amended guidelines for tree management. Do I have somebody prepared to move that? Councillor Burrows. Any questions, please, councillors? Councillor Doran.
I'm sorry, I was slow to mentioning this earlier, but I did mention it at the last workshop or meeting that we had. With the front cover of the guidelines, could we please have a tree that's in Urella?
Councillor Burrows.
I'm presuming that this is a document that can be updated as required going forward as guidelines, and I would like to propose that going forward there is some more information added to it in the in resources for people to understand better how they can clear trees within their boundaries in rural areas. That's it.
Okay, so how would you like me to deal with that in this motion, or would you just like to? Because you're right about the guidelines question, that they are.
I guess I would. I don't know whether we. maybe we note that, that this is a document that will be updated going forward. And I'm very happy to, having spoken yesterday to some of the staff, that they understand what I'm talking about with so it's like LLS advice and management in New South Wales resources, and RFS both have guidelines about distances to boundaries and what you can and can't do with trees. And I just think that there may need to be more links in there so that people can get more information as required. I know that this is mostly about town, but because it is a Shire document, we should be talking about rural as well.
Thank you, Councillor Burrows. We'd be happy to add a recommendation to that effect, or something that Council notes, that the document will be updated as required. Particularly, did you want to refer to that issue about the clearing rural property owners can undertake along their property boundaries?
Sure. Thanks, Tim. Sure, I would like to have included in the next update of this document stipulating boundary and tree management on council-owned land in rural areas as well as urban. I hope someone wrote that down.
Can I just comment on that, Mr. Mayor? So that will be an additional piece of work, and potentially there may be a better way of doing that with a separate document for rural, perhaps, or, you know, a separate section within it, but certainly we have raised that with the Acting Manager, Waste and Environment, and he's noted that there needs to be a bit more work. And I think the Director may have had further discussions with him today, if we can hand over.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, through you. Councillor, it's a really good point that is largely unaddressed in Yooralla Shire. The great news is we'll be presenting to you at some future stage a thing called the Rural Road Reserve policy or procedure, which, in a way, trees on road reserves in rural areas are trees on public space. But they are in a very special category by themselves because they are often the only remnant original vegetation in the Shire, and so there's a need to protect them as far as possible, but still provide adjoining landowners with the ability to have some clearance on the other side of the fence line. So that is could I suggest that is probably the best place to do it? Because this policy is largely about trees in the open space, particularly in the township, not limited to the township, but rural road reserve management. We need a policy around it that covers our own obligations, and could give some guidance to adjoining landowners about what the limits of their freedom of action is. Does that make sense?
Yes, I totally understand what you're saying, and I agree and understand that that is a much larger body of work. And we really do need that. I don't know how we're going to budget that in, but we do need to know where it stipulates how far you can actually clear from your boundary in a rural setting, because that is something that is set by the council. No, not inside the I'm talking on the outside of your boundary. So each council has the ability to set that. It is thought to be, everyone thinks it's about a metre, but it's actually different. Any council can set whatever they want it to be. That's not what I'm quite talking about in this. I think an understanding that's a much greater body of work that you guys can do when you have the ability. What I would like in here is two links. The one to LLS's rules and the one to RFS's rules. And I sent them by email to Council because I don't want you to have all that extra work. But in the list at the top of the guidelines, it has a few links already. I just want these two added to that. Because I think that that whole distance that the council has to work out is another body of work. I'm not trying to push that onto you now.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Can we just confirm what the council would like added to the amended resolution? Could you just advise if you'd like all of that or just the part about including guidance related to rural landowner boundary areas?
I'm not even entirely sure that this needs to be put into the recommendation because I actually trust you to do it.
You're inserted in the document.
Yeah, Councillor Bower, while we're full of trust.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and through you, and thank you, Councillor Burrows. She's all over this. There is an understanding, as you said, and you could get a phone call tomorrow, Director, saying, what do I do here? I want to replace the boundary fence that adjoins council land. How much am I allowed to clear? Well, it's apparently an unwritten law, but I thought it was a written law. 1 metre into council land with a variation and council has the option to deal with that on its own accord, but you give them 1 metre only. And it's the old chain, 22 yards internal. So that was the old law. Whether it's that now, I'm not 100% sure, but it's a good place to start. It does work. They can't go dozing everything on council land. It's just enough to put up a boundary fence, and it protects the trees. And then you'll get a tree that's 10 metres leaning over the fence. Well, obviously, you're going to use common sense there. Thank you.
Councillor Toomey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just raised a couple of things in an email and I appreciate the responses. I was completely confused and did believe, and I read back through the opening statement about the purpose of this document, and it does talk about private infrastructure and council land, and I do think it's a little bit confusing. I don't think I would be the only one to be confused, but maybe it's just me and my best friend, I don't know. Not looking at you, Sarah. But I did find it confusing, and I read the policy, the appendix on 5.4, which really added, compounded my thinking, because it asked people to note structures, plumbing problems, obstruction views, overhanging your residence, overhanging wires, and I mean, I don't know why people would have to notify all of that to tell council about a tree on their own property that they're on council land that there's a problem. That was where some of it got really quite confusing, and it does talk about, you know, the address of where the tree is, whereas it's not actually their address that we're actually after. It's adjacent to the council land that we want to talk about, and I appreciate the comments around making that modification to the way we do the form, but I think it probably needs a bit more clarity that we're just talking about council land, and I think the preamble, it's 1.2, just needs an adjustment to make that really clear, because it does talk about private infrastructure. So I really did think we were actually telling people when they could cut trees down on their own land. And I realise there are provisions there, but I guess the pruning and things is just something in a domestic residential setting is a little bit, we didn't want to go right into that space. But I am concerned still that we have got a really black and white rule here about you not being able to prune anything on the verge, and that really does not sit well with me. I think we need to, I know it's nice in policies to have really black and white lines, but I actually just don't think that's how Yooralla works. And we are a small town, and I'd like to see us try and be Yooralla in this document. We have people who, as we all know, grow fruit and veg on their verge, and they've just done that forever. I don't want to stop that sort of thing. That's really useful. That's actually often what supplies our food pantry. You know, there's an ecosystem there that's really important. So I made a suggestion. I know it's possibly a bit too not black and white. Maybe it's not quite grey enough. I'm not really sure. But I have real concern about, you know, page 8, there's a statement about, you know, residents are not permitted to prune street trees and you must talk to council first. Council will come and assess and then we'll come and do it. We can barely keep up with the mowing. I don't quite know. And we've got new beautiful parks to do. I just don't feel that this is actually financially workable for us as a council either. I'm really concerned about that. So I have some layers of concern for us as a council managing a policy with such a black and white approach. And I guess I really don't. And I'm thinking absolutely of a future-proofing scenario here. but I don't want to see this, you know, I know current staff have been very proactive in talking with people, but I just don't want to see it to become a stick to bit people with, you know. So I'm concerned about whether we are inviting a regulatory response, perhaps in future iterations of council in 10 years' time, you know, who knows, but different faces. And I just want to be really careful about that future-proofing of the community's goodwill and good intent in doing good things on the verge and making the town look beautiful. I know everybody that I know looks after the trees on the verge and does their best to water them even and you know, maintain them. And it's not a huge thing, but it is something that means council doesn't have to do it. So I am a little bit concerned about that. I have suggested some alternate wording around, you know, not generally permitted to prune the trees. In cases where they have typically maintained the trees, they should seek permission from council before continuing to do so. I get that that's a little bit grey, but I'd still like it to be that they can continue to do so rather than it come and talk to us, we'll tell you if we think we can do it and we'll do it. I don't think that's actually good for council either. And I wondered if we could think about just allowing, and that's where my comments, I think, I know that we've notified this policy out there, but I actually think this is such a huge change for how residents have ever operated, to suggest that they can't prune the trees on their verge or manage that landscape for us and for their beauty, that, you know, for the pride in their own homes. I think there needs to be a really specific, advice to everyone. Did you know that you now, if you used to maintain, you have to now do this? Because people will not know, and that's where they will inadvertently fall foul of this without meaning to. And I really am concerned about those things. Do they actually understand this is such a sweeping change? And how can we manage it? So it's not, it doesn't become a burden for council to manage the verges completely, but we have an arrangement where we can say, yeah, it's actually okay for you to keep doing that. So they're the two things I wanted to flag, and I put forward some words, but I did... I don't know if they're comfortable for everyone.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. That's you, Mr. Mayor. Thanks, Councillor Toomey, for those comments. I suppose I'd say that council officers just don't have the resources to be proactively looking for breaches of any area. In fact, we're very much complaint driven. So I think it's just providing us a tool if we need to use it, but we wouldn't be going out looking for people who might have pruned a branch. So I think the intent was just to guard against any major destruction of trees on public land. So that's the reason for the wording, and certainly it wasn't intended to be any sort of big stick. If council's of a mind to soften that wording, obviously, you know, we're in your hands, but we have exhibited the document and we've reported on the submissions that we have. But I just wanted to reassure you that it wasn't our intention to be regulating this policy in a heavy-handed manner.
I just want to be clear that it's not just that. It's also that you're now saying you will maintain the verges and prune all those trees. We need a mechanism to let people continue to do that. And that's one of the key things I want to make sure we don't impose, that we lose that, because that's a much bigger budget that's going to be needed to manage that. That's a big job that this document puts on our shoulders, and everyone's going to say, well, why aren't you doing it? You said you would. You know, and I'm not suggesting that council would go out looking to find people, but I am suggesting that if complaints come up and it's minor stuff, I wouldn't suggest council would go finding people, but, you know, I just want to be really careful about how we use this, and that we don't create this job for ourselves of having to now maintain the verges that we really haven't had to maintain nearly as much as this would imply. We now have to, absolutely. That's what I'm worried about too.
Councillor Burrows.
I agree with Councillor Toomey, and it's not this council and this council staff that we are in any way worried about. It's the ability for staff possibly in the future to use it as a tool in a negative fashion, as might have been done in the past.
Councillor McMullen.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Having sat with Isaac through a number of iterations of this, one of the things he brought to my attention was that in some of his previous experience stroke knowledge when he was writing this, that reference to no pruning of council trees was to prevent litigation. There have been recorded cases of people pruning trees in Sydney, falling out of the tree and then suing council because they said council should have done it. He is purely and simply trying to remove, to avoid that situation by saying, if you want to prune a tree on your verge, ask. If it's beyond your capacity, we will help. But if it is okay for you to do it, go for your life. He's simply asking for a register of people that are asking that question.
Councillor Toomey.
I'm just saying, I just tried to put some suggestions forward that might soften it and allow us not to also take on the burden of doing all of the maintenance. That's all. I was trying to put some words in around that. I don't know if they're acceptable. I totally understand the insurance issue, but this isn't Sydney. This is Yooralla, and I don't see us lose that.
Councillors, and I'll look for somebody to move this in a minute. The one, we note the submissions received. Two, that we note staff's responses and amendments to the guidelines related to the submissions. And three, we further consider issues raised before presenting this back to the next council meeting for the guidelines of tree management. Could somebody move that for me, please? No, we did move what was on the up there, not what I just read out. The changes relate to rural properties. They don't relate to the issues that were raised by Councillor Toomey. I'm trying to find a way forward, councillors.
No, no, I was just thinking, Mr Mayor, that if Councillor Burrows did move it, then could we just check with her if she's right with the changes and she's still the mover?
We can move with the amendments, Mr Mayor.
Okay. So I'm going to take a deep breath, and Councillor Burrows, are you happy if council staff work through those amendments as suggested and that the recommendation stays as it is moved by you?
I'm happy that council worked through what I was speaking about, but I think that I would also like that sentence for point that Councillor Toomey added, that I don't believe changes the legal point, but I do quite like the idea of letting people know that in cases where residents have typically maintained these trees, they should seek permission from council before continuing to do so. So it's just saying to people, we've got the law, but we're really happy to work with you.
That's right, yeah.
So what I'm looking for is, do I need to change what was on the board, or do I need to put something?
Yes, I would like this in...
Well, wait a sec till we get it back up, and then you can have another go at it.
Put the words up, Mr Mayor.
Yes, please, that is what I would like to propose putting forward.
Okay, so I have moved Councillor Burrows. Have I got a second, or I'll read it out, otherwise... Councillor... Second. Okay. Moved Councillor Burrows, seconded Councillor Doran, that the council notes the submissions received. This is in relation to the tree management guidelines. Two, notes the staff responses and amendments to the guidelines related to the submissions and adopts the amended guidelines for tree management with the following amendment. Council is responsible for the pruning of all trees on the streets and residents are not generally permitted to prune street trees. If you believe a street tree needs pruning, please contact council's customer service team to request staff to check the tree and take appropriate action. In cases where residents have typically maintained these trees, they should seek permission from council before doing so. And four, note the advice from the Director of Infrastructure and Development that a rural roads reserve management policy will be prepared for council's consideration for a future meeting, including guidance relating to rural land boundary areas. All those in favour? Thank you. Councillors, it's now 6:30, so we're about to get a meal. So if I'm going to have somebody move us for a break for dinner. Councillor, oh, wait a second. You've had your say. Councillor Bower, Councillor Doran, all those in favour? Aye. Thank you, councillors. Thank you, Mrs. Westbrook, for dinner. We're now on item 14.6. Councillors, we have two declarations of interest on this matter. Councillor Crouch is departing. Councillor McMullen is departing. Councillors, can I have somebody move the recommendation, then we'll Councillor O'Connor. Any questions, councillors? Councillor Tammy?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I wondered if I could ask for some advice about whether the subdivision has triggered any of the issues on Hill Street. It just seems interesting they've come up just now, and noting the location of that, I'm just wondering if there's anything around that subdivision management that we should be aware of as councillors.
The answer is yes, but I'll ask the General Manager to invite the Director to respond, please.
Thank you, Councillor Jimmy. Through you, Mr. Mayor, I'll ask Mr. Raby to respond, please.
Thank you. Through you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, well, there has been an increase in the collection of stormwater of that site, which is currently being somewhat exacerbated by the fact there's no development there and it's big open space, dirt, a lot of runoff. The issue has arisen now. It would have arisen at some stage though, because the system in that location, our stormwater system, ends with a pipe coming out of the embankment directed straight onto the property. Council knew that at some day it would cause issues for that property undeveloped at the moment, and so went to the extent of creating an easement in our favour where you would put a future pipe. The issue has been exacerbated, has been accelerated by the development, but it was always going to happen once development anywhere occurred in that catchment. So there needs to be a pipe under the ground, even if that subdivision hadn't have gone on. The day somebody wants to develop that piece of land, we really have to underground the water. So this is something we're going to have to do anyway. There have been issues with the subdivision not applying reasonable sedimentation siltation controls during our construction. And there's been site meetings between ourselves and the developer, and they've remediated a number of things. Not complete. We haven't had a big downpour since we did got into the last bit of work. And I'm particularly cognizant that the nearest neighbour there on the downhill side has been not insignificantly impacted during some of those events. We think it's been reasonably controlled now. The proof will be if we get another big downpour before further development.
So I guess my only observation, and I really appreciate you sharing what's happened, is there anything council can learn about the conditions that we apply to subdivisions in these cases and then the management of those conditions? Is there something that we can be supportive of staff in that regard?
Thank you. Through you again, Mr. Mayor. Yes, we need to do a lot more work when DAs or prospective DAs are flagged, not just in terms of what conditions we would apply, but doing reviews of our own infrastructure in that area, sewer, water, stormwater particularly, and to a further extent roads, but those three key ones, which are really backbone infrastructure. We haven't proactively, I think, had the opportunity to do that. With changes in the planning department now, with a very skilled engineer taking over as infrastructure manager. All of the pieces of the jigsaw are now there. And yes, we just need to be more proactive. There needs to be more early involvement. If somebody comes in to have a TLC meeting to talk about a future potential subdivision, we need to be in the room on those things. And we haven't been, in my experience here. So, yes, there is a need to be more proactive. I don't think there's necessarily a role for councillors in making sure we do it. It's just something, from a professional sense, we need to get very good at.
Any other questions, councillors?
If Councillor O'Connor's moved it, have I got a seconder, please? Councillor Bower. Recommendation that Council endorses the intention to install replacement perimeter stock fencing to renew the failed existing perimeter fencing at Council's Urella Sewage Treatment Plant, an estimated cost of $8,000 drawn from unexpended sewer capital renewal funds, which are available under the current budget. Two, endorses the intention to install approximately 50 metres of stormwater pipe in order to underground the existing flows of stormwater through the private property at 72 Hill Street at an estimated cost of $10,000 drawn from unexpended stormwater capital renewal funds, which are available within the current budget. And three, notes the future investigation of Stormwater Act impacts on two further properties downstream of 72 Hill Street will be undertaken and further stormwater undergrounding may be recommended to Council during the budget setting process for the financial year 24-25. All those in favour? I think Councillor Toomey raised a really pointed question that we have to review downstream impacts as well as the actual subdivision in the future. Thank you. Councillors, item 14.7, the quarterly budget review, December 2023. I'll take out 24 QBRS. And the recommendation that the second quarter budget review summary for the 2023-24 financial year be received and noted, and that adjustments to the budget allocation be adopted. Can I have somebody move that, and then we'll have discussions? Councillor O'Connor.
Mr. Mayor, I'll move with the following inclusion.
We'll do one thing, move it, and then you can ask your questions.
No, this is, I want...
You want to change the recommendation? Oh, okay.
The adjustment to the budget allocations listed in the budget review statement be adopted.
Can you just repeat that for me, please?
Between allocation and B, listed in the budget review statement. which is page 181 onwards.
Questions, councillors?
Yep.
Councillor O'Connor?
through you, Mr. Mayor, to the General Manager, I noticed on page 183, the interest income is increased by $200,000 with the notation that due to the bank higher rate, the council anticipates the estimated income will exceed the original budget. My question is, will there be an extension of that $200,000 from the general fund budget, which it's all included at the moment, through to McMoore Gardens Water Fund and Sewer Fund, mainly because that additional income will increase those other budgets. And so I thought, I just asked the question, will it be done?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Certainly noted that we're forecasting an increase $200,000 interest income, taking into account council's investment portfolio. So in terms of what the proposed distribution of those funds in our accounts, I would call on our Chief Financial Officer if that's agreeable to Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry.
Tony, the amount 200,000 increase is in total, and at the end of the year, we will proportionately distribute the amount to the specific funds.
I understand that, through you, Mr. Mayor, to the General Manager. I understand that's the situation. However, when we set the budget, we do an estimate of what that allocation would be across. For instance, we've got, where is it? On page 186, we had an estimate of $135,000 for McMoore's, $139,000 for Water Fund, and $39,000 for the Sewer Fund, and the General Fund was $431,000. So the addition of $200,000 will flow to those other ones, and I think it will reflect in the bottom line for those three funds as well.
Mm. Thank you. Councillor O'Connor, hit the button, please.
Yep.
Councillors, any other questions, please? Councillor Toomey.
Sorry, do you mind, Mr. Mayor, if I just clarify that? Because now I thought I had that right. Now I'm not quite clear. I just see that it's been added as an in the full 200 in the general fund, but you're saying it will actually be spread across the lot by the end of the financial year. Okay, I find this adjustment an interesting way to do it in my mind, but that's just because I don't quite see why we put it in one now when we're going to spread it at the end. But that's fine. Let's not worry about that. Let's just go with that. I'll just go with that. Can I ask another question, Mr. Mayor, please? I have raised this, and I appreciate your indulgence while I get my head around this, but I need to come to grips with the building inspector matter, if that's okay, please. When we adopted the budget, we had two lines for building inspector. One was for a contract, one was for a wage. There was a shared arrangement with Walker. There was recruiting going on. Whichever way it went, we'd take one out. I totally support that. Unless I'm misunderstood, we have stuck with a contractor. So the wage with Walker would have been the one to withdraw. So that's why this confuses me even more. But I also looked for that, well, one of them to be withdrawn in a formal QBRS credit back to us of whichever one we didn't do, because the general manager at the time, they're not our current general manager, did specifically ask that they both stay in there until the recruitment was completed. So the budget was adopted with both. And I know it didn't come in QBRS 1, but I just thought this then does seem quite wrong, because it's about the wage, which we never took on because we didn't employ someone. We actually did a contractor. So there's no, and that the contractor was always our contractor, not the arrangement with Vulcan was an employee. So this has really confused me in all of that reality of what we actually are dealing with. That's why I would be glad to get the bottom of that, if I can, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Councillor Toomey. Yeah, look, I understand this is confusing. It is a complicated pathway, but the reality is that initially Council had funds for both the current contractor and the proposed new employee. We were unable to recruit the proposed employee, and during the budget process, in one of those workshops, this issue was discussed that we were double dipping, and it's my recollection that there was a concern that we were putting both budgets in. And the expectation was that we would only need to utilise one of those streams of funds, and therefore we removed one to provide a better budget outcome and noted that if there was any adjustment required, depending on what happened, then that would be done. So I think that's where we've got to with this. And if it's confusing, we apologise. I think it's unfortunate that we got to this point, but we've endeavoured to recruit. We were unable to do so. The services are being provided satisfactorily on at a reduced cost in reality. So I'm not sure if there's anything else Mustaq could add to that, but more than happy to ask him to do so, Mr. Mayor, if that will be helpful.
No, at this stage, actually, as the general manager mentioned, during the workshop time, we had two amounts. One was salaries, another one was contractor. So at that point, we decided, actually, council raised the point that we should not continue with two of those lines. So we removed the contractor's line, kept only the salary amount. So the salary was 101,000, contractor's amount was 106,000. 106,000 removed. Currently, 101,000 is sitting in the budget, and that was the final budget approved by the council.
Do you mind if I just ask to clarify then? I do recall really specifically raising this at a council meeting, and you know, councillors agreed that the general manager wanted to leave both in while it rolled through. We all supported that, and I totally respect that at the time. But look, if something's happened there and that's in the sands of time, one was taken out, and let's not worry about that as much, although it's $100,000, so I'm finding it hard to let it go. But how this reads to me is we're being asked to add another 47 back into the pot because of the wages arrangement not coming off, but that was the one that was not pursued. The contractor should still be the amount of either 101 or 106, and I recall it being 106 for the contractor. So we're short 5K at the most, not 40,000. So that's why I find this one a bit hard to get my head around. We can't be short 40,000 for the contractor because we had the full...
It might be best if I leave the manager of finance to take that on board and try and balance those two numbers, because I understand the confusion. Okay, so thank you for that. Are there any other questions, please? So we've got moved, Councillor O'Connor, seconded. We've got a seconder for the recommendation. Councillor Petroff, the recommendation that the second quarterly budget review summary for 2023-24 financial year be received and noted, and the adjustments to the budget allocations in the budget review statement be adopted. All those in favour? Sorry. Okay, Councillor Bower, are you voting against? So we have two voting against, please. Councillors 14.9. Loans as of the 31st of January 2024. 14.8, monthly finance report for January 2024. Recommendation that Council receives the attached monthly finance report for January 2024. Can I have somebody move that? Councillor O'Connor. Have we got any questions, please, councillors?
Mayor, it follows on from the budget review. It's in relation to the interest and its allocation. So on page 191, you'll find the general fund, the more gardens, et cetera, is lower than what has been received. So the other item that I drew attention to is the fact that the budget, the progressive budget for water fund, had user charges of $465,000, and the actuals to date, or to that last billing, was $504,000, which shows a $39,000 improvement on the budget. But at the same time, looking at the sewer fund, all the other funds are doing well, but the sewer fund is still one that we have a bit of an issue with from the budget review. Sorry.
Any other councillor Toomey?
I could support it if we can just make a note and amend the item 6 where it talks about the current loan balance. If that could, I think it should just be in there really clearly so it doesn't conflict with further reports, if it's an amendment or whatever we need to do. Thank you.
All right, so thank you, Councillor Toomey. We're just making that amendment now. With that amendment, councillors, the recommendation moved by Councillor O'Connor is that council receives the attached monthly finance report for January 2024 with amendment to item 1, that item 6 loan amount, bridge loan, to $1.184 million. Right, seconder, please. Councillor Toomey, all those in favour? Thank you. Now I'll go to the next one. Councillors, item 14.9, loans as of the 31st of January 2024. The recommendation of the council notes the loans position as of the 31st of January 2024, totalling $1,392,395. Can I have somebody move that, please? Councillor Bower, second, and Councillor Burrows. Any questions, councillors? All those in favour? Oh, thank you. Councillor, 14.10, investments is the 31st of January 2024. The council notes the cash position as of the 31st of January 2024, consisting of cash and overnight funds of $1,843,426 and term deposits of $23,068,862, totaling $24,912,287 of convertible funds, including restricted funds. Can I have somebody move that? Councillor O'Connor, second, and Councillor Bower. All those in favour? Councillor, just to give you an idea of previous histories, the fact that the bank statement's been reconciled to the 31st of January wasn't always the way for your Alashua. But anyway, thank you very much, Worcester. Sorry.
I'd like to acknowledge is that in comparison with the January 2023, there's an improvement in our cash position of $4.464 million, which is 21.8%, of which there's the invested $24 million as opposed to $20.197 million. Which is an increase of 26.4%. that's the source of some of the additional interest.
Thanks, councillors. 14.11, of the request for sponsorship and donations of Rugby Art Show 2024 and the Elders Olympics 2024. I'm declaring an interest and I've asked the Deputy Mayor to take over.
Mr. Mayor, is this matter going to be discussed as one or is it going to be split into two?
Well, at this stage, I'll leave that in the hands of the Deputy Mayor. Okay.
If it's split into two, I either declared an interest in A.
Okay, councillors, I'm happy to take advice. So if we separate...
I'm happy to separate.
Okay, so moved Councillor Doran, seconded Councillor Burrows, that we deal with item one, the donation for sponsorship for Rotary, and item two, the donation for the Aboriginal Elders Group separately. So if I can ask the Deputy Mayor to take over while they deal with item one, and then I shall return for item two. But thank you very much.
Have a look.
You're not on the executive of Rotary.
No, I'm not, and I'm not a member of the art committee.
Oh.
So, I
don't know that. Oh, no. Well, councillors, we are in your hands. We have in front of us, except it keeps moving around, I'll read it off here. We have a request from council that we sponsor the Rotary Club of Yooralla for the amount of $4,000, inclusive of the $1,000 sponsorship commitment made in the 2023-24 budget for the Rotary Art Show, or maintain the current sponsorship allocation to the Rotary Club of Yooralla for the Rotary Art Show of $1,000. We need to decide which one we're going with. Would someone care to move one of those? And then we will discuss it. Councillor Burrows.
I wish that we were in a fiscal position where we could give far more money than we have at our disposal. So I think that we should be sticking to our adopted operational plan and budget and not trying to look for more money, is my opinion. So maintain the current sponsorship allocation to the Rotary Club of Yooralla for the Rotary Arts Show 2024 of $1,000. And just wish we had more money.
Do you wish to speak to it? Now you have. Does anyone wish to speak against it? Or to it? Do we have a seconder for that motion? Seconded Councillor Petrov.
I just wanted to mention one thing. Can I just make a typo, a notice of a typo? It's not the Rotary Arts plural show. It's just Rotary Art Show with no S.
Yeah. Righto. We will correct that. When do you get that?
Got that.
In that case, I'll put the motion. Oh, Councillor Toomey?
I just want to ask one question. I guess the only thing that occurred to me as I was reading through this was, and it goes back to the earlier topic of published higher fees that would help in these cases. Have we got any understanding if that's the same fee that anyone is charged? Is this how this universally works when the RSL hall's hired? Like this is the published rate? If anyone knows, I didn't think to ask this before we were sitting here today, so I haven't been able to research that myself.
Councillor Doran, do you want to answer that or will Councillor Doran answer that?
Through you, Mr Chair, I'm not aware of the cost, so no. I'm more than happy to hear from Councillor Doran. Thank you.
Because I'm not on the committee, I can't actually tell you what the direct cost is, but I know there is a fee and I know that it's been reduced slightly. Like I think there's one day free or something like that. And I must say the antiques fair is the same, that we just negotiate a kind of arrangement. So the antiques fair, for instance, runs for 3 days. Like we have a set-up day and then 2 days we pay full for. The first day I think we just paid $50 or $20 or something reduced. So I understand the art show has a similar
yeah.
kind of negotiated arrangement. They've actually cut back the art show by a day or 2 days to keep the costs within something that's more manageable for the committee. But, yeah, so I don't know what the actual fee is, but it's there. It's pretty much the full rate, but there's a slight discount here and there.
Are there any other questions before I put the motion? I'll put the motion that council maintains the current sponsorship allocation to the Rotary Club of Urala for the Rotary Art Show 2024 of $1,000. Those in favour? Anyone against? Carried unanimously. Yeah. I'll now hand back to the mayor.
You don't think he's going to the office?
Thank you. For the second item, can I get an update, General Manager, from our Acting Manager or whatever he is, please?
Mr. Mayor, I would like to invite the Acting Manager, Corporate and Community, to provide further advice on this matter for the information of councillors. Thank
you. Mr. Mayor, I thought for the last 6 or 7 months it was the interim.
We've identified a new director, so now it's acting.
And you're just
in
and you're acting.
Indeed.
You want me to leave the room?
Just by way of background, staff have been approached by a representative of a group of elders who want to go down to the Elders Olympic. It's an event that happens every year. We initially had gone back to say we can provide assistance with identifying grant opportunities, etc., but that, and going back to the budget that we just talked about with the Rotary Arts Show, that there was no allocation for that type of event or that type of sponsorship. Where it, I think, has become a bit problematic for us is that last year we over-serviced the request by way of actually getting in and ringing around to try and find out how much accommodation would cost, how much transport would cost, putting the group in contact with potential funding bodies and all of that sort of stuff. So there is an understandable expectation this year that we're going to do the same thing again. We simply don't have the resourcing to be able to go to that extent. So the initial response back to the group was that we don't have a budget position to be able to automatically say, yes, we can help you. If you would like us to progress that, we could take it to council to get council's view.
Thank you very much. So, councillors, if I got somebody prepared to move that we donate $300 to transport and accommodation costs to support the combined Aboriginal Elders group to attend the 2024 Elders Olympics in Kempsey.
Yeah.
Councillor Bauer. Sorry, have I got missed something?
Can I ask a question before we go?
Yep. Yeah, well, I just wouldn't need it. If I got a mover, then I can more than happy to have questions. Sorry, so we've got to move, Councillor Bauer. Sorry, your question, Councillor Toomey.
I only wanted to just offer, by way of context, that I am aware that in previous parts when Council had, and lots of councillors in this room will remember, those community grants panels, that individuals could apply, and I've been trying to research the rules. It was up to 300, I think, or was it 250? And I do believe that's part of the history here of where this expectation was also come from, for benefit of staff who mightn't have been here when that happened. And I know that it was an individual would apply, not one for lots of people. It was one person applied, and it was a sort of assessed by the panel very transparently and published in full detail. One of my questions was really, where would this come from in the budget? You know, I I know it mightn't seem like much, but, you know, Rotary, in the context of what they do, probably doesn't seem like much either to them, but it's all significant dollars.
Two parts to that, and I won't answer the second one, I'll answer the first. Councillor O'Connor and Councillor Burrows, were you on that group that's allocated the $3,000, I think, was in the budget? Councillor O'Connor was, you weren't on? Yeah, so there was a budget allocation, $3,000, people could apply for that money, and that group would meet twice a year? Correct me if I'm wrong. You didn't need to do that, tell me, just to, thank you. The second part about it was prior to last year when one of our staff members went to an enormous amount of work on their behalf, it was actually funded by, correct?
Healthwise.
So we didn't get involved in this debate. But the second part of it, whether we then need to look at a budget or how we manage that, sort of the community requests, that's a discussion for the draft budget in my view, if that's okay. So I'm looking for somebody to second Councillor Bowers' motion. Sorry.
Thank you. The director will respond to that, please.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. So the bucket of money that followed from the community grants program, or seemed to follow, I don't have the full history, is the community event and development program, and that's the bucket of money where the Thunderbolts and the Lantern Festival and things like that are funded from. Within that, and this is in the operational plan, there's an allocation of $1,000 for general community events and support. Councillors might recall that we've already decided to make two contributions, two $200 contributions. So there's still $600 sitting in that bucket. I think what's problematic is that the fund is designed for community events here. So to answer your question, there is some money sitting there.
Okay, so we have moved Councillor Bowers, seconded Councillor Petroff. You have a question. You've got a question first. I'm going to go to Councillor McMullen because he's like Councillor Bowers. He reckons he hasn't been listened to enough.
Yeah, he's got blinkers on. While I support the idea of providing some monetary boost to the coffers to get them to that, I think I would like to include the second part of that motion so that we can provide them with support to develop a strategy for them to seek funding in future rather than come to us to do it. And I think we have a grants office that might spend half an hour to do that with them and thereby removes the burden from us in future if it's made clear to them that it's their job to find the grant funding. But we'll help them do that. So I'd like to amend the motion so that it includes both parts. Thank you.
I'm of a mind not to amend the motion, but to give them that advice, knowing the people involved, that we quietly direct them rather than make it a part of a motion. The councillors are happy with that. Councillor, wait a sec, I've got to go to Councillor Doran first. Councillor Doran.
Well, thank you, but I'm exactly with Councillor McMullen. So I think they're talking about up to 15 or around 15 people going to Kempsey for a three-day Olympics event. I mean, if it has to be one or the other, I don't know that $300 is really going to make much difference because they need lots. So I would rather see them get the support for a grant, maybe some emergency grant that they could get so that they could go. Because I don't think that $300 is going to get them there.
So I'm clear, Councillor Doran, you're suggesting that we don't give them the $300, but we assist them to find grant funding to do that work.
Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I mean, it's two or two, they're the two options. So if it's either of those, I think we're better off to, I would be in support of garnering support for them to possibly go this year because
Yeah. So the second option is what I would go for, please.
Thank you. Councillor Burrows?
I too think that we should try and help them find grants, but I want to be sure that we're not going to write the grants for them, because that is a lot more input. Happy to help them find them, but they must write them for themselves.
Okay, so I'm clear. Councillor Bower, you moved to donate the $300. I've got an alternate motion, so a foreshadowed motion from Councillor Doran. And you have... So I'm going to put the motion first, the $300, and then I'm going to... If that falls over, then I'll put the alternate motion. Any councillors concerns about that process? Okay. Move Councillor Bower that we donate $300 to contribute to the transport and accommodation costs to support the combined Aboriginal Elders group to attend the 2024 Elders Olympics in Kempsey. Have I got a seconder? Councillor Crouch? All those in... Oh, sorry. Sorry, Councillor Petrov, seconded. Okay. Thank you for that. All those in favour? Thank you. The motion's passed.
Sorry, through the Mayor. May we also help them find grants, not write them? Find them.
Well, I think we have to make sure we don't run into the same problem next year, so I think Councillor Doran's comments are well-founded. We need to find another way for it, because I can be very confident that there are other available fundings for this sort of event.
Mr. Mayor, you didn't count who or say who was against the motion.
Okay, I'll need it again. Those in favour of the motion, please. 1, 2, 3, 4, 4. Unanimous. Thank you. No, I appreciate it. Thanks. So basically, we've approved the $300 and we will work in the future for them to seek other grants. And if Mr. Clark sees some, then that's good and we'll work with the group. Or with Pam, but at the moment it's $300 for this year.
Can I ask one question?
Yep.
I guess this really has highlighted for me the fact that we need something clearer back, not like what we had. I think what we had needs to evolve anyway. But I was reminded as part of looking at this of all that we used to look at, and it was things that were really important for kids who were going on representative sport excursions who were being asked, they had to form front up in a particular school blazer that there's no way that single mother could afford. And I know PNCs do a lot in that space anyway, but there were just that the previous grant option gave money opportunity to apply, was never granted and lots were knocked back, but it was just the opportunity to apply for something small, $150, $200, that was just beyond the reach of people who had opportunities and couldn't reach them if we didn't, or they didn't get help from somewhere. And I really hope that we've got this ASIN, we've got the VPA stuff coming in, but there's going to be a little bit of a gap. And I feel that we should think about some of the entities that we actually support in the budget, and I'll certainly be throwing some thoughts around ones I think we probably need to let go. And maybe that money could go into a pool that could have some parameters around these small couple hundred dollars here and there that help make a big difference. I don't know. That's just something that occurred out of all of this and the budget thinking that we're all already doing.
Yeah. I agree with all that. I'll just go to you in a second. But I think we need to officially acknowledge the wonderful work the Yorala Bowling Club's been doing and Yorala Rotary, and we have TUF. So there are a number of other groups and the co-op money. Yeah, sorry, Councillor McMullen.
Getting back to the point at issue, Mr. Mayor, I think if we offer in-kind support through grants, we may be able to sow the seed that in future such an Olympics will be held in Yorala. That could result in quite a bit of income coming into the town, because there are thousands that go to these Aboriginal Olympics.
Thank you for that thought. Councillor Doran, this is the last go.
Thank you. Just really quickly, I know that this request for sponsorship, certainly through Rotary, has been around for months and months and months. And I know in my discussions with Aunty Pam that she's been talking about it, but, yeah, I sort of go back to the over-servicing by previous well-meaning people, which is great, but, yeah, it seems to have created a sort of reliance. Mm-hmm. So I really would love to see them be able to identify something that they could come this year. A lot of people have got their hopes up and they'd really love to if they could. So if we can possibly give them some guidance where to go to seek that, that would be really good. Thank you.
Councillors, moving on to item 14.13, the Grace Munro Aged Care Centre leasing matters. The chairman of the board of the Bundarra Grace Munro Centre, sorry, get the right term, Grace Munro Aged Centre Limited, has offered to answer questions on his mobile phone. I suggested that if we had any, and I appreciate his offer, and he's also spoken to our, what do we call him now? Acting director. So, councillors, I have a recommendation on page 207 over to 208. I've got somebody prepared to move that and then we'll have discussions around it. Councillor Crouch, thank you. Any questions, councillors? Well, on that basis, I'll look for a seconder and then I'll read the motion. Seconder, Councillor Burrows. The recommendation that council provides written consent to the Grace Munro Aged Care Centre Limited for the grant of a sublease for Park 24 in DP 753646 to Traffic for New South Wales for the purposes of providing access to Lone Pine Walkway Replacement Project. Two, that council provides a letter of support to Grace Munro Aged Care Centre Limited for a grant of $460,000 for the proposed extension of the facility on the condition that Grace Munro Aged Care Centre Limited will be responsible for the future maintenance and renewal costs of the extension, will indemnify council for any damage to the existing building arising from the construction work associated with the extension. And three, a report be brought back to the May 2024 ordinary meeting on proposed terms and conditions for a long-term lease for the facility to Grace Munro Aged Care Limited. Can I have a seconder, please? Councillor Doran, all those in favour? Thank you. Councillors, Sorry,
Mr Mayor. It's just pointed out to me that I've referred to Transport for New South Wales as Traffic for New South Wales. Director of Infrastructure wasn't prepared to let it slide.
Again, we should acknowledge the wonderful work that the board have done and the staff of the people that work at Grace Munro and the work that our acting director and have done in working with that group. So thank you very much. Councillors, 14.14, register of resolutions, action status as of the 22nd of February 2024. You'll notice we've been given an additional page on the rationalisation of waste service areas. Councillors, somebody prepared to move it and then we'll open it up for discussion. Councillor Doran. Any questions, councillors? Councillor Doran.
I'd just like to comment with excitement that the resolution from 2015 for the Bergen Road land acquisition can now be closed. I think that's good, isn't it? It's not bad.
Councillor Petrov.
Mr. Mayor, in the one that we've just been handed on the sheet, can I just ask where that might be up to? Because I can see a lot of issues with this. in that you've got, say, Thunderbolt's way out to Bundara. Now, once you get past Rocky River, most of those are properties. And some of those people live 2 kilometres from their front gate. They're not going to want to be taking their bins out to the front gate. I think there needs to be a lot of community consultation for this, because there are so many different aspects to it, and I think that needs to be understood.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Councillor Petrov. Absolutely agree. There's a number of issues around which we need to consult with specific landowners, and it is our intention to do that. Our Grants and Communication Officer will be working with the Acting Manager Waste and Environment and the Director of Infrastructure and Development to target appropriate consultation with affected landowners. So I think it's important to note that this review results in no one losing anything, just that some residents will gain. Mm. And while we note there are some challenges in terms of how those services can be provided, we believe that's workable. It would be our intention to engage with those property owners we've previously had discussions with about previously not necessarily wanting to opt in for these services. We want to engage with them individually and with the sorts of property owners that you've identified. I mean, in other locations there are different solutions where bins are located at the entrance to the property and rubbish is brought down to the gate when property owners are exiting the property. So those sorts of options may suit certain landowners, but we want to hear from them. And we welcome any particular guidance from councillors on those particular properties as well. So I might just ask the Director of Infrastructure if he's able to give any further advice on the likely timeframe for this engagement at this stage. Thanks.
Thanks. Yeah, councillors, the our wish is to execute the new system in the new financial year, so under the post 1st July. So there's and we've had a number of meetings already on what we're referring to as the communication strategy for this, because there's a number of differently affected parties for which the consultation needs to be different. Some people are getting a new service for the first time and will be thrilled. Others are in an area where they were previously able to opt out and have, and which is sort of contrary to the Act. So we're going to have a different discussion with them that now you're in and you don't really have the option of opting out. And then there's everybody else whose systems will be unchanged, but the addition of extensions to their system may see the bins picked up at a different time of day, for example, than they've been used to, because they will maybe be on the other end of the system, so it'll happen later in the day. And having worked with bin pickups for 20-plus years, all of those things are really important to people. So I think there's going to be a fair bit of one-on-one consultation, knocking on doors, for example. It won't just be a letter sent out saying, congratulations, here are your new bins. So the exact structure of that communications plan isn't yet finished, but will be in place and will be undertaken well before the service is meant to begin.
Councillor Doran?
I think it's important as well to let people with concerns know that the trucks are going past their door anyway. So this is actually to the benefit of their autonomous council and cost efficient for council. So whilst it might be a change of behaviour for them, and the other thing is that I'm from a big farming property out west of Moray, we've got a tip and it's feral. Like, we don't want that on people's It gets in waterways, it creates all sorts of hazards, it's not good. And then if people are burning their waste or like other options, we need to move forward with using the council waste services and so that's the sort of messaging I'd like to be able to be passing on.
Thank you. Councillor Burrows?
I had one really minor question about item 15.1 on page 226 being closed out. How can it be closed out when the truck isn't here yet and we still need the extension, another extension of the current contract? So we still need to be reminded that that's happening. Please.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Councillor Burrows. Absolutely agree. But as you know, the council resolution was to develop a waste management strategy, and we'll be bringing a report to you on the waste management strategy very soon, and Mr. Raby could probably confirm that, and that will be an opportunity for further discussion around these matters. In respect, this particular resolution was about the purchase of the waste trucks, and the separate item on the separate discussion on this will be around the long-term waste strategy and the master plan for the Yooralla landfill, which are to be reported in the next month or two, I believe. But I will ask the director to advise if he has...
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, through you. The current plan is for councillors to receive their first, call it a workshop presentation, with our consultant and our waste team. I think in mid-March, we're still trying to organise it, but the first one should be then. There's a couple of key things to be worked through there upon which everything else hinges. So the two items to be covered, I'm going off the top of my head. One is just how much space we've got left in the existing landfill, and so how much life it's got, which sort of sets the time frame for us. What options there are of potentially increasing that the lifespan of that, if we wish to do it, and the other one is our options for future residual waste, e.g., what are we doing with the red bin contents with the day the landfill closes, whenever that may be. So there's a number of options that'll be shown to councillors, with the costs and benefits we've calculated for each option, in both of those sort of areas. So that'll hopefully be in mid-March sometime.
Through the Mayor, thank you. Fabulous information, but not what I was referring to. So the next item down, 15.1, about the waste trucks and options for curbside waste collection, which at the bottom says this action item can now be closed. And I'm saying I don't think it can, because the truck's still not here yet and the current contract with the curbside waste collection needs to be continued. So it's the next point down that I was talking about, at the bottom of page 226.
Sorry, Councillor, can I just confirm, so item 15.1, the waste truck and options for curbside waste collection. So, yeah.
I understand that it's all rolled together. However, in the information that we've been given, the truck's been pushed out, which is totally understandable, but we're going to have to do also
a further extension to the current.
So this is actually not quite finished yet. So at the bottom where it says this can now be closed out, I don't think it can.
I think, yeah, the closeout was probably on my advice. Item three, which is council's result position, we continue outsourcing the curbside waste collection until the arrival of the new waste truck.
Yeah.
So that's being executed and will continue to be until the waste truck arrives.
So that just keeps rolling?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Councillor Petroff.
Yes, 14.3. I'm just wondering, the 15th of February, with the meeting with the local Aboriginal Land Council with Greg Livermore in regard to the Bundara Cemetery, if that happened, and what's the status of that now?
Thanks, Mr. Mayor, through you. Sylvia, who
looks after the cemeteries, and I travelled up. We had a fantastic meeting with Mr. Livermore. We both met him for the first time, actually. We spent some excellent time together. They are, in his words, the mob is thrilled that somebody's thinking about it. They would like to, so that one, they're fully supportive. So we're proceeding with the project off the back of that. The Aboriginal Land Council actually has an aspiration to have a bit of a ceremony on the day that we unveil the plaque. So the wording, they had one minor request, which was a minor change to the wording on the plaque, which had, so the wording was that this plaque commemorates those in unknown graves here, from both Indigenous and pioneering families. There was a problem with the word pioneering because it makes it sound like there was no one there before the pioneers arrived. So the wording that's been proposed, that's been signed off by the Land Council, is commemorating Indigenous, those of Indigenous and other backgrounds. So, yeah, so notwithstanding that one change, so we're now at the stage of ordering a plaque.
Thank you. Councillors, any other questions? Councillors, I'll move Councillor Doran. I need a seconder, please. Councillor Toomey, the Council notes the resolution action status report as of the 22nd of February 2024. All those in favour? All right. Thank you. Mr. Lashley, I'm going to have to ask you to leave the room, please. Councillors, I'm now looking for a mover and a seconder for us to move into closed session, confidential matters. Move Councillor O'Connor, seconded Councillor Toomey, all those in favour. That the recommendation of Council considers confidential reports listed below in the meeting closed to the public in accordance with Section 10A2 of the Local Government Act 1993. 15.1, McMoore Gardens Residential Aged Care Facility Business Review, appointment of consultant. A matter to be considered to be confidential under Section 10A2DI of the Local Government Act 1993, and the Council has satisfied the discussion of this matter in an open Council would on balance be contrary to the public interest as it deals with commercial information on a confidential nature that would, if disclosed, prejudice the commercial position of the person who supplied it. All those in favour? Motion. On page 3 of the confidential section. So I'm looking for somebody to move it and then we can have a discussion about it. Councillor Toomey, thank you. Move Councillor Toomey. The Council accepts the Stuart Brown Chartered Accountants proposal dated the 13th of September 2023 to undertake an updated review of McMoore Gardens Aged Care Facility Business Plan and engage Stuart Brown Chartered Accountants to undertake the review. And 2, the Stuart Brown Chartered Accountants present the final report of the review of the McMoore Gardens Aged Care Facility Business Plan to Council, and 3, Council allocates funds from the residential aged care budget of $38,500 inclusive of GST to fund the review and the report preparation. Questions, councillors? Councillor O'Connor?
Mr. Mayor, I recommend that agree with the decision to sort of award it to Stuart Brown. However, within Stuart Brown's, what would they call it? Contract or brief, yeah. There are a couple of items which concern me a little. One is that they are looking at risks, financial, legislative and reputational to council in operating an aged care facility. They're going to report on that. However, I think we're in a position where we need to know what the risk of not operating McMoore Gardens is to our reputation. Now, we may not need them to tell us.
We don't. We don't need them to tell us. We'd be shocked.
I think yeah. that we can't ask. We can only ask for them to do those other assessments. What we do is what you're asking for is political, which we agree 100% is what with what you just said. But should then, at least be aware as a council of the risk financially and as I say, there's no way in the world we're going to recommend that.
I know. So within the scope then, in the next, in point five, it says the strategy they're going to talk about are retaining and investing, divesting, contracting out, or doing nothing. The two items which I picked up out of that was the reputation of us not having it, and even the idea that we divest ourselves on more, both of those. Now, we're going to have them do it, right, to tell you, say that this is the cost, etc. But we need to tell them on the QT that they can do as little work as they need in that one area, because regardless, I would be voting for keeping McMoore's, and I worry about those type of things that we've got to put into a scope just so we satisfy the whole range.
Then I think probably the best way, and I'll ask the acting director to comment, is that we say that part of the discussion we don't need to seek advice on. We're very clear on that. The issue is where we go from 36 to 50 and the risks that come with that, rather than that we wish to, because if we go back to the original reports that they did from whenever it was, divesting it or building a whole new facility was part of some of the information we worked through and basically disagreed, so we could save them some trouble there. But take it on. Councillor McMullen, you have a say.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Can I make a recommendation that we ask the contractor to set a final date? It has said he can start on the 23rd of January or something rather, and estimates that it will take 2 months. Having previous bureaucratic experience, estimates of 2 months very quickly become 6 months and the cost of same increases. So if we're able to set a date for the final delivery of that report, as is expected in most senior bureaucracies, I'd be most grateful.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I will ask the director to advise on the likely time frame for the review. I suppose I'd just add in terms of the previous discussion that the purpose of the review is to provide information for council to be aware of risks, and the report, we would hope, would identify strategies, actions, mitigation, options, etc. Recommendations or findings are really just for the information of councillors, and we certainly weren't expecting to preempt any particular outcomes from this review, but I understood this has had a bit of a long lead time and it's intended to be comprehensive so that council has an informed position as at 2024, given the legislative and other changes that have occurred. So I'll just ask the director, Mr. Mayor, to provide advice on a likely time frame, please.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. If I could add to what the General Manager has just said, in the conversations that I had with the two consultants that we've been speaking with, I've made it very clear, not on the QT, that the community and council support for McMoore's is absolute. This is not an exercise in working out how not to do it. It's an exercise in understanding the risks and showing us the path forward based on the community's desired outcome. In response to your question, absolutely, we can give them an end time frame. In all of the conversations that I've had with Stuart Brown, they've said that they can comfortably engage with our staff to and do their research to be able to come up with their business report within 2 months. and specifically that they could come up and present their report personally.
They say in May, then they say if they start in January, they'll be done by May, then it'll be permitted. I just want to have
them. We can always add that we invite them to attend the council meeting on the something date of May, whatever the council meeting date in May is.
Okay.
Councillor Bower?
I realise it's getting late. The Councillor O'Connor brought up a real good point. Point five on the item 15.1. I reckon that point five should go below in line with the original scope. The updated report will have regard to rather than telling that's a possibility they could change what you've already done. So the point five I recommend goes down as another point. Take out five and put it right down the bottom under the line in line with original scope, because it is all original, all that point. That's my point. Thank you.
Okay, so that's point five at the top of page five of the confidential report, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
General Manager, you have that, please. It doesn't need to be in the final recommendation that we go publicly, but we do need to note that, please. Any other questions, councillors? I'm now looking for a mover and a seconder. Oh, sorry, councillor. Sorry, I missed that. And Councillor Burrows. Councillors, all those in favour? Councillors, I'll now read that back into the public documentation. What am I going to do?
Go back into.
Okay, manager, just to update us on the latest advice that she's obtained from the Independent Planning Commission, which thank you very much for your work in that area.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So I'm pleased to advise that I've got an invitation here ready to go to you, which is to come along to meet with the Independent Planning Commission on Monday, the 11th of March, I think it is, at 4 p.m. And the panel's going to come here to talk to councillors regarding the proposed Thunderbolt development. They do also invite advice in advance. So you'll receive this. I'll try and get this to you tonight. So what we've got is an invitation to the Thunderbolt Wind Farm hearing or to meet with the New South Wales Independent Planning Commission. The commissioners are named and would like to extend an invitation to the council to meet in person to discuss the proposed development. And they'd like to provide an opportunity for the elected officials to present your views of the project to the commission. The meeting will be held in person. If council has a presentation, they would like us to send it to them in advance. And just to advise that the meeting will be recorded and a copy of the transcript made on the commission's project page. So I'm sending the invitation out, and they'd like to know the attendees by the 1st of March, which is Friday. So perhaps Wendy could just confirm with you if you're going to attend on the day in person, and we'll take it from there. So I think it's a great opportunity for council to present a collective viewpoint. It may be appropriate for a single presentation, as they've suggested, to be provided. And I'm happy to put that together in consultation with the Mayor, circulate that to councillors for their review and any suggestions or amendments. We can run that presentation and then hand over to the Commission and the councillors for questions and answers, if that is an agreeable approach.